There are two basic kind of cases where the Gemara applies also levatim and tosiyam. You'll find one on Yudayim Beis, one on Yudches Min Aleph, for example. Let's say the simpler case is where someone simply wants to marry Krovas Zkukasa, let's call it. Now, we're not taking a position yet on whether we're holding Yezika right now, but someone has someone who's a Zkuk Liyavim, and he wants to marry a relative of that person, which will then aser the Yavama on him. So the Gemara says, according to many Tanoim, aser levatim says Yav. You can't marry someone that's going to cause a Ptor Erva to prevent you from being Yavim the Yavama. The Gemara in Yudches Min Aleph introduces a more complex case where you have two Yibums in front of you. Let's say two Achayos were Nofel Lefanov, Liyibum. So you can't be Miyabim either of them because that will prevent you from doing Yibum or Chalitza on the other. If you're Miyabim one, then it'll create a Ptor Erva to be totally Makia, the other Achos, from Yibum v'Chalitza. Therefore, you must do Chalitza and not Yibum. Okay, so those are the two basic cases where the Gemara applies Asur Levatel Mitzvas Yav. So in this Chabura, I want to raise and hopefully address four overall questions about this din. First of all, is this Isser, according to those who think it exists, a din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan? Is it a full-fledged din? Or there might be some indications, especially in the Baalei Tosfos, we'll see, that it's a particularly weak din. Question number two, what's the nature of this din? What's its yesod? What is it all about? Why is it also levatim says yavim? What is the nekunas ha-machlokes between the man da'amar mutter and the man da'amar aser? Within that, we're going to think about to what extent it's a din klali. Does this have to do with the general question about being mevatel mitzvos aseh? Or is this a much more prati din to yibum? Another sub-question there, the Gemara in Yudches Min Aleph and elsewhere connects the question of Asur Levatel to the question of Yesh Zika. What is the nature of that connection? Does Asur Levatel have some deeper connection to the issue of Zika? Or is it simply an alternative to saying Yesh Zika? Question number three, the second case that we outlined of Asur Levatel and Tzas Yavnin, where you're chayav to chalitza rather than yibum in order to avoid being mevatel the other achos, let's say, from yibum and chalitza. That's a very, very, very surprising thing in terms of the relationship of yibum and chalitza. We're all familiar with the famous statement of the Gemara that chalitza b'makom yibum lab mitzvahi. So here, we're telling you, you can't do yibum, you must do chalitza in order to avoid being mevatel the other krova from Yibum v'chalitza. So what does that tell us about the relationship of Yibum and Chalitza? Fourth overall question, what is the scope, the hekef, of this din of Asur Levatel Mitzvos Yavnin? Where does it apply? The only mefurish cases I've seen in the Gemara are cases of creating a Ptur Erva. That is what the Gemara is defining as being Mevatel Mitzvos Yavnin, that is also. But could it apply outside of Ptur Erva? Could it apply to other ways of sneaking yourself out of a chiyuv yibum? So, for example, if to get creative, someone's misaris themselves, aside from the other isurim involved, so now they're going to be potter from yibum. What if he makes himself a mumar? Also, presumably usher for other reasons as well. What if the famous case in Achronim, b'shev v'al taiseh, the yavam yivama say, okay, we're not interested, teishev b'zikasa, she'll sit in aguna, she's old, whatever. B'shev al taisa, we won't do yibum or chalitza. Is that run afoul of Asur Levatel says Yavnin? Is it related to this question? Are you allowed to cause a potential bitul mitzvahs Yavnin in the future if there's no nefila yibum right now? In other words, is there anything wrong with, or is there any isser involved in two brothers marrying two sisters, or any arrangement like that, where were there to be a yibum situation, Rahman al-Tlan, then you would be, you know, you'd have a Ptur Erva and they would be misbatel from yibum chalitza. Is there any reason to plan in advance from the perspective of Asur Levatel Mitzvos Yavnin? Furthermore, we'll have to think about whether the Isser of Asur Lachem Mitzvahs Yavamin is strong enough or is of the right nature to create a Chalitza Psula. If you can't be Yavamin because of Asur Lachem Mitzvahs Yavamin, is that Chalitza Psula? And would you apply Nesra to pick up from last week? If someone was Asur B'Yibum Machmas Asur Lavatel, would that create a Din of Nesra? Okay, so these are all things we'll have to think about as we explore the nature of the din. So, I actually want to go a little bit out of order of the Makoros sheet, just as a further introductory food for thought, before we try to suggest different approaches to the nature of this Isser, just to think a little bit more preliminarily about what this Isser Levatel tells us about the relationship of Yibum and Chalit. So, I have a section on page 5 entitled Yachas Yibum Chalitza. We're going to look at some of those Makoros first. So, as we mentioned, we know the famous name in the Gemara, Chalitza Makom Yibum Lav Mitzvahi. And in that light, again, this din that you would be forced to be Choletz to avoid being Mevatel, a different Yibum V'Chalitza, seems rather surprising. So, a number of Rishonim on these sugyas did raise these issues. Let's find where I am. No. Yes. So in Makor number 33. Rabban Yeches Med Aleph brings down a Yesh Mitartzim, which suggests that, unlike in other situations where being Choshesh for Sveikos, like Misa, as we'll hopefully discuss, might come with a cost, here there's absolutely no reason not to be Choshesh. Yesh Mitartzim, Kevad Yibum Chalitza Ki Adodin, since Yibum Chalitza are on equal footing, Ein Anu Huvian Atzmenu Lidei Safik Bitul Mitzvah. So why should we get involved in any possible Safik of maybe eventually being mevatel mitzvahs yad? So this Yesh Mitartzim is stating very clearly that also mevatel mitzvahs yadmin, at least in certain applications, is assuming that Yibum and Chalitza are on totally equal foot. Now the Ritva, source 34, was very bothered by this. Although, maybe I shouldn't say very, he was somewhat bothered by this. He brings down this teretz. He says, some people think that maybe we're only not Choshesh L'misa when there's some Hefseid or Tzorech involved. Aval Hacha, may as well do Chalitza. So the Ritva says, Ein Zeh Mechuvar Kol HaTzorech. This is not totally glat. Teha Amrinan L'Kamon, the Chalitza B'Makom Yibum, Lav Milsehi. It's also another way, interesting way of formulating it, or an even stronger formulation. So, what happened? Chalitza makom yibum lav mitzvah. Elam kenat omer de mitzvahs chalitza kodemes mitzvahs yibum gavashol. Maybe if you hold the gavashol, so then we already have a certain netia towards chalitza. Of course, if you're holding like gavashol, then it's a little bit of the opposite problem. Why do you need osur levatel mitzvahs yavmin? You're always going to say do chalitza. Okay, it could be that osur levatel takes us, you know, ups the ante, and now we'd be kofe, perhaps, to do chalitza rather than yibum, as opposed to the normal din of Avashol. But the way the Ramban formulated this teret, this Yesh Mitartzim, was not like Avashol, right? It was that Yibum Chalitz are actually equal, which Lechora is Delo Keman, right? We have a concept of Mitzvah Yibum Kodamas and Mitzvah Chalitz. We have a concept of Mitzvah Chalitz Kodamas and Mitzvah Yibum. Now the Ramban is saying, no, they're actually on the equal foot. So what exactly is going on? Of course, we have to understand the statement of the Gemara on Chaf about Chalitz Makom Yibum Lav Mitzvahi, is that only within Rish Lakish? Is that only within a certain understanding of Asei Decholot Asei? And Bichlal, what does it mean? So that statement, Chalitz Makom Yibum Lav Mitzvah, was of course brought up to explain why you don't say that it's Efshar L'Kayim Shneihem because Efshar B'Chalitz. So the question is, the fact that Chalitza is not good enough, so to speak, or not does not constitute a good enough kiyum of Yibum to say it's Efshel Kayim Shneim, so you may as well do Chalitza, not Pidocha the Lotase, what does that really tell us about the relationship of Yibum and Chalitza in general? So there are different ways to approach it. In other words, is this statement of Chalitza Makom Yibum Lav Mitzvah really a universal motto which we can go by throughout the Masechta? Or is this a much more specific point about the nature of Efshel L'Kayim Shneim in Aseh Docha Lotas? So you have very different formulations in the Rishonim. Of course, the Ritva and Udi Imei, who are just transporting that statement into our sugya, seem to be assuming it's a universal statement. That fits well with an extreme formulation in the Meiri in Source 35, and Daf Chaf. He says over there, Harayef Shalakayim Aseh B'Chalitza, Ein Zeklum. Shechalitza mitzvah acheres hi, uva makom yibum lo nechshava. So, chalitza is a different mitzvah, meaning if you, efshel chalitza would not be a kiyum of yibum, it would be a kiyum of something else, and that alternative kiyum or mitzvah is not nechshav when you have the possibility of v'mekayim mitzvah yibum in front of it. It's an interesting question whether the Meiri is taking a position on minyan ha-mitzvos, as would fit well with the mahalach of the Rambam and those who followed him, who counted Yibum and Chalitza as two separate mitzvos, seems to have been the dominant mahalach in the later Rishonim, although Rav Yochum Fishel Perlau tries to find a few earlier Mekoros that they're actually one mitzvah. He claims that that's the day of Rasag Bahag. The Bahag that I saw on Al HaTorah listed it as two separate mitzvos, so I'm not sure what Rav Yochum Fishel Perlau was looking at. And I think he may have found one other earlier Mekor that they're one mitzvah. But in any case, Miri is saying two separate mitzvos, and this is not a kiyum of yibum at all.
Does he mention
Miri? The Rechum Vishvul? I don't think so. At least not in the... I didn't go through the entire piece, but in the part that I saw, he didn't mention. The Tashbetz, in Source 36, has a much more moderate read of Chalitza Makom Yibum Lav Mitzvah. Although, we can be down with the Miri as well. Maybe one would want to place the focus within the Meiri on the mitzvah acheres point, which is that even if Yibum Chalitza are on relatively equal footing, the very fact that it's a different mitzvah may mean that you can't say it's Efshel L'Kayim Shneim in the context of Aseh Docha Lo Taseh, because you would be Mekayim a different Aseh, so maybe that has nothing to do with Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. But okay, Pashtus, the Meiri is taking a very strong position on Lav Mitzvah. The Tashbetz that we went through in Shir with my father-in-law has fascinating discussion, him and the Rivash, about Isser Kolel, about Yibum Chalitza, goes through a very wide-ranging discussion of the relationship of Yibum Chalitza, and brings up a number of possible ways to look at their relationship. Makes a lot of interesting comparisons along the way. Is the relationship of Yibum Chalitza like that of Yimekadeshan Yayin or Pas? Or maybe it's like the options of Kulul Hashem or Kulul Lachem, according to Belezer. Maybe it's like the different options within a Korban Olav Yored. He also compares it, as one would expect, to the options of Arifa and Pinyon Petach Hamor. So there's a lot of different possibilities to consider in the relation of Yibum Chalitza. So he says like this in Source 36, Chalitza gufa nami dam rinon, Chalitza makom yibum lav mitzvah yi. Hachanami mefarsha, the lav mitzvah min hamuv charvi, lehis batel b'shvila mitzvahs yibum legamre. But it's still a mitzvah. It's just not mitzvah min hamuvcha. So maybe all the Gemara and Chaf is saying is that we don't say something's efshel l'kayim shneihem if the alternative would not be a mitzvah min hamuvcha. But it's still a mitzvah. If you take that approach, then the Gemara statement by Osir Levatim says Yavnin, that we'd rather do two chalitzas than one yibum, which is mevatel the other yibum chalitza legamre, becomes a little less surprising. Rabbi Yosef Engel, Nekach Tov, Source 38, connects this to a general question that he raises about quality versus quantity in halacha. Is it better to mekayim one mitzvah ketikno or two mitzvahs shelok ketikno? So he turns this into a kolistika question, but he also comes around to suggesting that, no, maybe there's something unique here about also Vatim Mitzvah Yavnin. Maybe it's unique in that you're being madche the mitzvah hashniya of Yadayim. Okay. Yeah, Karen Orr brings up a similar point. What's interesting is that the Rashba, source 37, on Chav Chesem and Aleph, actually integrates the perspective of Chalitza b'makom yibum lav mitzvahi within the daya of also the bottom says, yeah. In other words, until now we've been wondering, could it be that the man da'amar of also levatam mitzvahs yadmin is saying, like the Ramban suggested, that he must hold that yibum and chalitza are on equal footing? Otherwise, why in the world would you be misbatam yibum just to save a different chalitza? However, the Rashba in Chav Chesem Aleph suggests like this. Yishlomar, contrasting the question of chashash misa by Bittul Mitzvahs Yavin to that of backup Kohen Gadol and backup wife on Yom Kippur, the beginning of Yuma, the Hasan, the Rav Chadim Ilsa, Kalecha Dika Lamechash, with Kunei Matkinin. Over there, okay, why not? Rav Chadim Ilsa will be, have extra chashashos to make sure we have a good Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur. Avon Lamechash, Vilu Vitulei Iker Mitzvah. But here, by Yibum, to incur such a deep cost to be Mavatel, the Iker Mitzvah of Yibum, Mishum Chashash Misa, Lo Chayshina, the Chalitza Makam Yibum, Lav Klumu. And he's even upping the ante on that, on the Lav Mitzvah. It's Lav Klum. So the Rashba is suggesting that, yes, also Levatam Mitzvah is Yad. And Chalitza apparently is very Nechshav, and being Mavatel, the possibility of even doing Chalitza, is something that we do not take lightly at all. However, this is still within the perspective that chalitza makom yibum lav mitzvahu, and therefore to be choshesh lemisa in this context is really to incur a very deep cost of being mevatel the ikar ha-mitzvah. So this seems to be a recognition that we're willing to go very far with also the vatel mitzvahs yavnin, even though we acknowledge where also the vatel mitzvahs yavnin will tell us often to do chalitza rather than yibum, even though we are acknowledging that chalitza makom yibum lav klum. So that should, you know, further pique our curiosity about what exactly is behind also levatam mitzvahs yavnin. Okay, so with that, I want to move forward in Chabura, which takes us back to page 1. So a final series of hakdamos before we look into different approaches to what is the yesod of also levatam mitzvahs yavnin. I just want to make a few ha'aros to keep in mind about this din. So first of all, it's an interesting phrase. Asur levatam mitzvahs yavnin. So first of all, the fact that it's phrased as an isur. Asur, it's asur to be mevatel mitzvah yibum, as opposed to, let's say the opposite. One could have said, chayov lekayim, or, you know, levadei sheit kayim mitzvahs yibum, however Chazal would have said it. Is this primarily a chiyuv to ensure that yibum or chalitza happen? Or is this an isser to sort of attack the Yibum Chalitza? So, just from the phrase of Asur Levatel, it sounds more like the latter. Also, what exactly is Mitzvahs Yavmin? Right? It's an interesting phrase. It doesn't say Mitzvahs Yibum, it says Mitzvahs Yavmin. Throughout the Masechta, Yavmin seems to refer to both Yibum and Chalitza, right? Like we have Maimor Yavmin, Get Yavmin. So Yavmin seems to be a more cloistic way of referring to the package, the general situation and values and halachos of yibum v'chalitza. So it's also to be mevatel this general package of yibum v'chalitza, perhaps indicating that in the idea of asur levatel looks at yibum v'chalitza in a more in a wider, broader, more holistic way. Second of all, I want to be meir on the tremendous power of this din, the surprising power of this din of Asur Levatel Mitzvahs Yibum. So we've already referenced some of the ways in which this is true. First of all, as you mentioned, the fact that you're willing to forego the Ikar Mitzvah of Yibum and instead do Chalitza just because of this factor of Asur Levatel Mitzvahs Yavnin certainly seems to testify to the great power of this din. Number two, the extent to which we're choshesh for Bittul Mitzvahs Yavnin, even b'makom safek, is very surprising. So the prime example is the issue of Chayshin and Lemisa. The Gemara, Yuches Manalf, and elsewhere, explains that even if there are multiple achim who could be miyabim, it's still usur to be miyad for, let's say, shnei achayos naflu lifnei shnei ach. So it's still usur for either ach to be miyadim either achos, because just in case his other brother dies, then he'll be in charge of both yibums, and now it'll turn out that he created the nerva, and he will be mevatim with zesiyah. So the Gemara is choshesh lemisa in the context of bitum with zesiyah. Tosfos goes through Shas to figure out whether this accords. Generally, we're not choshesh lemisa, according to most Tanoim. Tosfos suggests a more technical answer, that here it's an issue of chayshin lemisa lezman merubin, because this whole yibum chalitza situation could obviously play out over many years, depending on how quickly they execute the yibum chalitza. So therefore, that might be why we're choshesh lemisa over here. But it's worth considering whether something about the greater chomer of this din, or maybe something more specific about the nature of this din, makes us be choshesh lemisa over here, or be choshesh for even more far-fetched sveikos than we normally would. Just as an example of that, the Ramban on Chavav and Aleph suggest, explaining the Gemara there, that the Gemara may have been assuming that Pshita Le Deman L'Chayesh L'Sveik Anami Chayesh. It may have been obvious to the Gemara that any Tana who holds by Elsa Levatim Tzis Yavnin is definitely going to be Oser, even the Mokum Sa. So maybe something about this whole concept of Elsa Levatim Tzis Yavnin, by its nature, forces us to be Choshesh even for more far-fetched Sveikos. Another thing we'll hopefully get to later, Tosis points out, here the Gemara ends up concluding that we're choshesh lemisa dechav, not lemisa detre. So if there are three brothers, then it's okay to be so to speak, mevatim mitzvas yavnin. It's not really bitum mitzvas yavnin, because we're not worried that two of the brothers are going to die. Whereas in Yuma, Beis Menal, Chachamim say to Rabbi Yehuda, ein l'davar sof, if you're choshesh that one wife will die, then be choshesh that two wives will die. So when do we say we can be choshesh lemisa dechav, not lemisa detre? When do we say, no, ein l'davar sof, there's no difference, you're going to be choshesh, then go all the way. Fine. Another nekuda in which this din of Asur Levatel comes out particularly chamor is that we seem to have very clearly in Tosfos, and I think it's Mashma in the Gemaras, in a number of places, that not only are we Osir Levatim Tzis Yavin, we make additional gzeros, Shema you'll be Mevatim Tzis Yavin. In some places, Tosa says, you know, we'd be gozer if there are two brothers, one does yibum, one does chalitza. We're gozer that maybe you'll do the wrong order, and then you'll come to mevatim tzis yavnin. So we'll see in a second. Especially if this is a din drabanan, we're making a gzeira on top of the din drabanan. We're being choshesh l'sveikos within this din drabanan. Very surprising. Yes. So in a case, if one brother, I think the way it goes is that if one brother were to do chalitza first and then the other one would do yibum, you'd be safe. There's no chash pitum says yavim. But a number of Rishonim suggest that we might be gozer, we would be gozer, not to do that. Shema, you'll be miyavim first. Instead, you both do chalitza, exactly. So once again, showing that this din is particularly powerful.
So it's interesting because Tosis, at least on your Zayin of Beis, seems to think that one context in which he seems to be very
Yisrael Lofar.
Sorry, yeah.
Right.
But that, I mean, so that would be mashma, that it's not necessarily that, like, everyone necessarily attributes such a chomer to Asur Levatel Mitzvas Yavnin if Rabbi Gamliel is willing, being on the one hand,
he takes it halfway.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not.
Right.
Which would sound like, I don't know, there's a machol student in Rabbi Meir about, I don't know if that's a more general thing about being choshesh l'sofek or whatever, but...
Yeah, so yeah. The day of Rav Gamliel and the suggestion that there are more moderate deos within Asur Levatel is very important, and we'll hopefully get to that.
Okay.
It might show that there might be different ways of looking at this entire din. Could be that the Rav Gamliel is taking it in an entirely different way. Not everyone agrees to Tosas Chiz about Nesu'a Lokba.
Yeah, correct.
Right. Okay, so hopefully we'll get there. Good. And a final nekuda, which actually relates to Tony's point, about how powerful this din seems to be, Tosas on Chav Tes Med Aleph and Rishonim elsewhere suggest Delo Mistaber Shiyeh Shum Tana Mikel Levatel Behedya Mitzvah Siyab. And they're talking there even about Bishana. So Tosas suggests that it's like it's Loi Tochein to the Gemara that there would be any Tana who would say that you could always be Vatel Mitzvah Siyab, even in the most direct head-on case. So, again, it could be that there's a very important distinction between the two paradigmatic cases of Asa Levatel that we discussed. It could be that everyone has to agree that to just have a Nisue Rishus, to just randomly go marry the sister of your Yavama would be Asur. Tulsa says, lo, you're talking, anyone would allow that. But the notion that you can't do Yibum and instead you have to do Halitza, Kedbrochosheish, etc., etc., that might be a more specialized din that's more controversial. But in any case, at least part of this din seems to be so powerful that it's uncontestable according to Tosfos. Now, it's funny because, different however I want to make, in some ways, there's a consistent pattern in Tosfos of pointing out how weak this din of Asa Levatel Mitzvah Siyab is. So, one great example, I put on source 6, Tosfos in the beginning of Yuma, contrasts the Chashash Misa in the context of Bittum Mitzvah Yavnin with the backup Kohen Gadol's etc. on Yom Kippur. So he suggests why are there Rabbanan saying Dafka by Yom Kippur if you're going to be Chashash Misa ain't the Dover Sof, you'd have to be Chashash for a million backups. But by Yibum they're satisfied to say you have to have one backup brother Misa Dechad Chayshinon Misa Trey Lo Chayshin. The Tosa says, this would be Mishumailu de Kapara, Chayshis Lizman Muat. Tosa is saying, the Rabbanon are saying to Rabbi Yehuda, if you think that ensuring the proper Kapara on Yom Kippur is such a critical value that you're willing to be Choshis Lemisa, even Lizman Muat, in this context, in Kei Nechosh Afilu Tarte Utlas, then by the same token, you should be Choshis for a million people dying. Inami, Hasam Chashasha Ba'almohu, Mishum Bittul Mitzvahs Yavmin, Veleika Yisura Kulehai. Maybe over there, by Bittul Mitzvahs Yavmin, it's just a Chashasha Ba'alma, and it's not Leika Yisura Kulehai. So therefore, we're willing to say, okay, we'll be Choshesh a little bit. One Misa. Avalacha Mishum de Kaparas Kul Yisra, Tolibo, Vechash Apilu Tarit Yutlas, Filuz Mamu. Okay, and over so. But in the Kazim Yom Kippur, it's such a critical thing, Kaparas Kul Yisra, that once you're going to be Chosheish, then we'd have to go all the way. We'd have to be Chosheish ad infinitum. So, Tosas here is using a very strong language to highlight how weak this din seemingly is. Right? It's a Chashash Ba'alma, Leikei Suri Kulehai. I think there's a line in Rabbi Kiv Eger where he sort of takes this formulation of Tosas and takes it like a step further, where it's like, it's not really an Isser. It's like, it's, you know, something not recommended, something a little more in that direction. Not a full-fledged system.
Sure.
Yeah?
It's interesting that Tosfos, because the cheshbon on Yom Kippur is the kapara, meaning it's not actually the external thing that you're going to be involved with. Here he's downplaying the iser itself. They're not parallel, exactly.
Right. He's comparing apples and oranges a little bit. He's comparing, like, a totsah for the tzibor with the level of this iser.
He could say this is a bona fide iser, just the outcome of even Vata even wouldn't have been so bad as opposed to the Kapara Kibbutz's would be drastic.
Right, so that actually relates to one of the Yisodistic questions here, which is maybe also the Vata Mitzvah Yavmin is actually more similar than one may have thought to this ensuring Kapara and Yom Kippur in fact.
Means about the outcome.
Exactly. In other words, is the idea of also the Vata Mitzvah Yavmin, as we'll discuss, you know, the totsah of Hakamas Shem is so critical that we can't take any risks and we have to ensure that it somehow happens. So yeah, then it would be much more parallel. So yeah, it's interesting to ponder within Tosfos. It does sound like from his emphasis on Leika Yisura Kulihai that he's looking at it more as an Isser. Yeah, so he's saying, yes, they are apples and oranges because one is a critical totsah, so if we're going to do it, we're going to go wild on the Chashashos. And one is a light Isser. So therefore, we're willing to be moderate in our discussions. Okay. consistent with that pattern in Tosos of viewing Osavatel as a weak Isser, Tosos also says on Daf of Zayin Mubeis that you would not apply Nesra via Osavatel. Not so surprising, unless you take a much wider view of Nesra. But even the way Tosos phrases it really serves to downplay the status of this Isser. He says, "Delo chashiv hach Isser l'asar olam." This Isser is not choshev enough to answer her forever. The Tosas Rush has an even more extreme formulation in that direction. Lagabe the question of Chalitza Psula. So Tosan Chavav Mebez, the Masa of Chalitza, also says that it would not be considered a Chalitza Psula if the Isser Liabim is based on Osir Levata. He says, Avon Maxim Rishas of Osir Levata says, Yabim lo nigir ba mazika. Okay, so he makes a fundamental point that maybe it's only chalitza psula in if the isser liyabim is something that weakens the zika, also the vata does not weaken the zika. Tosas Rush just says outright, it's an isser kal, it's a light isser. Okay, so we seem to be pulled in two opposite directions. On the one hand, we've shown how on many scores this din of Asur Levatel is surprisingly strong in terms of how many seikos brachos is for, and even at the expense of Ikar Mitzvah Sivum, etc. And on the other hand, at least within Tosos, we have this trend of viewing it as a particularly kal Isser. So we'll have to keep that in mind. So now let's go straight into the level and the nature of the Isser. So first of all, is this a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabban? So, I haven't found any Rishonim who raised the possibility that this is Daraisa, at least Beferush. One could make some Diyukim. Rav Yaffin has like 20 pages on the Sugya. Ayin Shum, if you're brave enough. But the Achronim do bring up this possibility that it's a Din Daraisa. However, in order to do that, they suggest that it's a Din Klali and Bitul Mitzvahs. So, the Karen Ora, Chavav and Aleph, the Nor Shraga, Yudzayin Mabez, Rav Yosef Engel, and Besa Otsar, all raise the possibility that maybe this is a Dindo Raisa that you're not allowed to go and be Mavatal Mitzvah Sase. Right? Very simple. Let's see.
So, and do you think that's true in all the cases, all the applications, or only like...
Yeah, exactly. So the more far out Cheshashos and applications of this Din become much more difficult from this general perspective of Bitul Mitzvahs. Yeah. Right, to say that you're mevatel mitzvah say because by doing mitzvah yibum, now if your brother dies, it'll turn out that it's memela mitzvatel and ptura from yibum chalitza, very difficult. So most of these achronim don't actually stick with this mahalchim yet. They raise it, but like you're pointing out, the more you try to connect it to all the examples of osur levatel, the more difficult it becomes. Now, we'll still have to keep in mind, maybe it could still be a hezber for some of the cases of Asur Levatel, right? As Yoni was already bringing up. Maybe there are going to be Tzvei Dinim here. Maybe some of the cases are Lekuli Alma, and maybe those cases are more within Klali, maybe even the Raisa. Maybe some of the cases are more specialized to Yibum and more controversial.
What do you think of the Shrach?
Right, so the Karen Ora is a tentative already at the beginning, because he's already aware that this doesn't really fit the pattern of most mitzvahs I say. We're clearly going much further here. So, source 9, Karen Ora says, Yesh Lodam Hai Yisur the Bitul Mitzvahs Yavmin, Lechore Yesh Bazeh Srach Isur Torah. To Osir Levatel Mitzvah Mutelas Olah.
Notice he's saying it Klali, not Yibum.
Right. It's a very Klali formulation.
Which explains the Srach. But Osir Levatel Mitzvah Mutelas
Olah. But couldn't it have been a Din Klali that was a real Isur Daraisa? And
if the part of their being the mitzvah, I think what he means is part of their being the mitzvah makes ignoring it or not guarding possible doing it.
Saying it's like it's klali in both senses,
right?
Meaning it's not just something which applies only in the context of yibum. Not only is it something that applies to all mitzvahs, I say it's really one isr klali, srach isr klali of taking this kind of porek ol approach to mitzvahs. Right. So the Karen Ora is suggesting it's only maybe it's a strach, it's a Torah of pushing off mitzvahs in this way. So why doesn't he want to go all the way? So I just want to think for a minute about, you know, other examples. Like, there are a lot of potential comparisons we could make. I gave you some on the Makoros sheet. Actually, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I just want to summarize first the Rice of the Rabbanan. So, fine, so those are Chonim Reis. Maybe there's a Din Klalim the Rice. Then Horash Raga has a nice piece, Yudzayim Beis, I sent to the email, where he brings up a number of Rayas. Again, a lot of the points that we made about how Chomer this Din seems to be, it's a little surprising if it's only a Din Rabban, right? He says, we're Choshesh for Sveikos, like what happens to Sveikos Rabban on the Kula. He says, yeah, there's Mordechai. Sometimes we are Choshesh for Sveikos, even in the Rabbanans. How can we have Xeros Atu Isra Levatel? Is that like a Xero Xera? He points out the Gemara in Gittin, Pegim Lomad Aleph, by the beginning of Hamagarish, Reb Tarfon makes this whole argument that according to Reb Lezer's allowance for Gerushe Chutz, you're going to be end up Gorim Lak or Dover Natorah if it ends up messing up a Yibum. So Reb Tarfon seems to be using this possibility of being Gorim Lak or Mitzvah Yibum as a Deraisa Svar. So Norah Shrugger says, maybe that shows it's Deraisa, he rejects it. The dominant approach is that also the Vatel is a Din Rabbanan. It's clear in the Rashba, Chav Zayin Mabez. It's pretty clear in the Ritva, the Ramban, Chav Tesimut Aleph. That seems to be the reigning assumption throughout the Sugya and the Rishonim that we're dealing with the Din Rabbanan. So, with that in mind, let's look at different approaches to the nature and the Yesod of this Israel. So the first approach that we already started discussing is the possibility that it's more of a din kloli in mitzvos, that it's usur to, if you have a mitzvah, mutalas alav, it's usur to sort of be mafkia yourself from, to get yourself out of mitzvos, to sneak out of mitzvos. So a classic example that comes to mind is the issue of tzitzis bin and rischa, the Gemara Menachos, where the Malach reprimands this Amora for always wearing Begadim Haptur Mitzitzis. And he says to him, you know, Tatz Tekele Mitzar Nafshe Mi Mitzvos. Right? You're playing tricks to get yourself out of Mitzvos. Now, that already doesn't sound so relevant to here. Like, is the person really just only marrying the sister to get himself out of Yibum? He's doing Tatz Tekele to get out of Yibum? Right? Lechora, this isn't a situation of trying to sneak out of a mitzvah. Certainly in the case where the guy just wants to be Mekayim Mitzvah Yibum with one sister, and we're telling him, no, that'll be Vatzah Mitzvah Yibum with the other sister, this isn't Tatz Bekele Mitzvah Nashim Mitzvah, he's trying to do the better mitzvah. So again, that model doesn't seem to be super relevant. Furthermore, issues like Ma'anish and Vida and Rizka, L'chora would not be an Isser. Now, maybe this would fit with what we saw at the trend in Tosa, that it's an Isser Kav. But L'chora, it's even less than Isser Kav. We have to figure out. Is an Idan Rischa type of problem really formulatable as an Isser at all? Or is it a Midas Chasidus? Right, what about the Doros Rishonim and Doros Achronim? Doros Achronim, they bring their Maiser, they bring their Tavua into the house in a way that's Potter and not Maiser. So the Gemara says, oh, you see, you know, you read us a Doros. The Gemara doesn't say it's also to do that. Gemara Kiddushin Lama Gimel says that if someone closes their eyes to make sure they won't see the Chacham coming, so they won't have to stand up, al zeh ne'emar v'yareisim elokecha. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch actually formulate that as an Isser. However, the Moshe Zakenim, Parshas Kedoshim, suggests that that's a special din in Kavodat Torah. Clearly, we can list other examples, as we already did, by Tzitzis and Meiser. Not every trick to get yourself out of mitzvah is a full-fledged Isser. So Moshe Zakenim says, Hikshari, Maishna, he rates the shiny hasam shum kavu Torah einu yochel lahar. He's a perik shvos edus kavu Torah. Okay. Also an important cloud, the Rashba and Beis Yad Alpha Beis einu rim baharamos zudam lazu. There aren't really any rules about when haramos mutter, when it's usher. You have to figure out what Chazal established in a given case. But l'chora, this whole sugya has nothing to do with haram. Because again, we aren't dealing with someone who's trying to play a trick to pot himself from a mitzvah. Certainly not in the case where he's just trying to do yibum, and we're telling him, no, that yibum is going to ruin a different yibum chalitza. And even the person who's just marrying the krova of his yavama, seems unlikely that this is all just an elaborate ploy to get out of the yavam. I mean, it's possible. That's a question. We'll have to figure that out. Could that be what's going on? The Rambam in Perashat Mishnayos and Tzemura defines harama as, I mean, it's pretty obvious in the word that it means like a trick. And again, I don't see any trick over here. Rambam calls it a tachbula, at least in the Targum that I see. There's also an issue by Kohanim who leave shul before their Korei Kohanim, Be'er Halacha and Kuf Chavches, says you can only do that if there's a chulshah, if there's a real serious reason why you need to sneak out. And he says, we see from Kiddushin Lamed Gimel that it's also to pass yourself from mitzvah asay, even koydim zman chiva, or even if koydim bias hachacham, your matzim einav, it's still a problem. And that's also another score on which also the Vatim says Yadmin does not fit the model of V'yareisim ilkecha eden rischa. Because also the Vatim says Yadmin is actually only once Zika or mitzvah zivum has already been chal. Right? We'll see. There might be a srach of also the Vatim says Yadmin even before Nefila, but there's no real also the Vatim says Yadmin before the brother dies, before Nefila Sibu. Just to put it out there, there is this Tosos on Tzadites where he quotes a day of the Rivon coming on the heels of the Yerushalmi that it's not ideal, it's not a Shevach, it's a Shevach to marry one's niece, but not a Shevach to marry Krovas Ochiv. See, I have this somewhere on the Korshi. It's not a Shevach to marry Krovas Ochiv because that'll end up being Mevatim to Zibun later, you know, if something happens. This I have in source 42, Tosfos Tzadi Testament Aleph, and the Sefer Chasidim brings this down in Tzavos Bira Chasid that Lo Yisu Shnei Achim L'Shtei Achayos. So it's an interesting question whether that's just part of his general. He has all sorts of other, you know, not recommended marriages that don't fall into this category, but Mishnah Zavram or Price that's out suggests that this part of Rabbi Yehuda Chasid is based on this Deya in Tosfos that Shnei Achim marrying Shnei Achayos is not recommended because it'll cause a future bitl mitzvah yak.
Who connects it to?
A price. Mishnah Zavram, he has this massive parish of Tzid Hasidim.
Any distinction made between whether you would be doing the Yibum for the purpose of being a kind of mitzvah or because you want to marry this woman?
Like an Abishol-ish kind of thing?
No, meaning that...
I mean, you're saying the two cases.
Not that you're also not doing lishemis, but not being only lishemis. No, let's say he prefers to do yibum over chalitza because he wants to marry the woman. Would there be any would any distinction be made, such as when it comes to leaving the Beis HaKnesses for davening? Let's say if he needs to go for tzorech, for there I'll say he can go. So we wouldn't say that that's a problem.
Well, l'chayra, the tzorech mitzvah of yibum would be the greatest tzorech.
Let's say.
Right. Then, so why do you need an additional tzorech?
Because when you're weighing mitzvos against each other, so a tzorech mitzvah doesn't always get factored in as a tzorech with respect to personal tzorech that would outweigh.
Okay, that's a very interesting point.
So I'm wondering whether anyone makes such a distinction that bittul mitzvahs yavmin would only be when you're doing it because there's mitzvah yivam, and then we say, don't be mevatel.
But remember, there's the other case of bittul mitzvahs yavmin as well, where you're just marrying a krovas yivinto shel rishos. Right, so there's no mitzvah. So presumably he just wants to marry her, but it's still awesome. Right?
So the scope would be larger, certainly.
Right.
The
yeah.
Again, the whole thing, on the Kalali side, on all sides, the tzir question also looms very large. The certain mitzvahs, right. You know, whether it's our kakafa and gavra or whatever, but, you know, the timing wise, you know, so they're within, like, you know, your purview. So then, taking steps to avoid them, you know, even during Passover, or not to, you know, pursue them, is different than, you know, than Yibum. Yibum, I think, there's a dialectic. It's Kodim, you know, Nefila, there's just no Tzira. So even if it was a more Klali idea, you just don't have that, it's not in the, you know, it's not on the agenda. You know, it's like a Dom Shalom Baliola. On the other hand, once you're within, you know, the Nefila, so then you know, maybe that like ramps up, you know, that even what otherwise would seem to people like a passive avoidance or like a misasek, you know, whatever, but because this is, you know, people has particular urgency to it, you know, the Zika and so on, so then you might get the kulas and the chumras, you know, for that reason.
Right. Right. So, right, so that's where I wanted to go next.
Also, that Gemara in Megari, Hamagari, just to conclude the Tosus.
Right, that's also very relevant to that.
On one level, it's one step even.
In the Gemara, there is saying, Lo Yitachin, to say that you can't marry someone who will cause a bit of what's Yavin Leif, right? That was the Gemara's conclusion.
You can't divorce someone, Chutz Miploni.
Right, you're saying that's even a step earlier within the Havli. Right. It's meaning Tarfon's argument was in some sense by saying, oh, the fact you're creating a gerushin which could lead by multiple steps later to this bitul mitzvah yavamin would be masa mashkas v'torah. Right, that's taking bitul mitzvah yavamin even a step further. It's a good point.
Right.
But the maskona sagamara is like, no, you know, elamiata, loisa, basachoso, whatever.
Right, basachoso. So it's the same.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, though, just that gemara seems like, I don't think Tosfos and Sefer Chassidim quote it, but it sounds like that gemara
is saying it's fine, right?
Yeah, or they're like coming from there. In other words, like
they might be inspired,
like,
right?
Like you don't, there's no isser to do it, but it maybe it's not like
right. The gemara already had a havmino that it was creating a problem. Right. So is that more of a raya that this is a legitimate idea or that it's an illegitimate idea, right? Okay, do we, you know, havmino maskona? How do you look at that? Good. Right. So before I get into the perspective that my father-in-law raised, I just want to throw out one more example of to what extent you're allowed to lead the situation to pot himself for mitzvahs. The sukkah of Emah Masvino Gimel Yom Kodem HaShabbos. Within 3 days, there is a certain seiruf of Chol of Chovas HaShabbos, the way some Rishonim look at it, and the way the Rif and the Rambam understand that Isser, a lot of different Pshatim and what the Isser is, but the Rif and the Rambam brought down Shulchan Aruch, is that the problem of going on a Svino 3 Yom Kodem Shabbos is Bittul Onig Shabbos. You're going to be seasick for the first 3 days. So you're causing bittul mitzvahs onig shabbos. And one critical thing to keep in mind in that context is that if you're traveling with tzarach mitzvah, then it's mutter. So that's another reason why the usual discussion of getting yourself out of mitzvahs is l'chora just not relevant here. Because by also the Vatim says Yavmin, at least in what I'm calling case number two, we're clearly saying you can't be involved in mitzvahs Yavmin even via being mekayin mitzvah zibum on the other sister. So usually we don't say you can't do a mitzvah if you're going to be mafkia different mitzvah.
So to highlight that's even a worse case, because there, whether you're getting out of your chiyuv mitzvah, not getting out of chiyuv onig Shabbos, you're going to end up violating onig Shabbos, the onus.
Right.
So that's even presumably more problematic than the other cases where you're creating a tour. Nafobichin is most important.
Right. So that's another critical thing we have to think about, especially in terms of bittul mitzvah yavam, and also, right, there are different ways to get out of a mitzvah. There is, like, just barely, like a p'tur ones. There's, within p'turim, there are different levels of p'tur, right? P'tur, there's an absolute havka. Within those different options, which would be better or worse in terms of, causing those situations? So, right, so l'chora, ones would certainly be a problem. We'll have to figure out, yesh ladun, whether causing a hafka from the chiyuv or causing a ptor within the chiyuv would be worse. So we'll get into that within the context of
the ptor could be shaita, though. The ptor is out, or by now. But by marrying the other karov,
right, you're madcheh the mitzvah be a dai.
Shaita, not later on. Right?
Right, so it's worse in that sense. Right, and that's one of the svaras Karnora and Rav Yosef Engel, others bring up that. Here, even from a klalistic perspective, one of the worst things is the fact you're matched to be a dying. And that relates to my father-in-law's point that you already have the Zika. Again, we'll have to discuss, are we talking here the Mandamar Yesh Zika, the Mandamar Ein Zika? But, of course, even the Mandamar Ein Zika, there probably is some Zika. But either way, we can use that term to talk about the Tseiruf, the Kfar Chalala of Mitzvah Zibum. So, that may be a reason why it's more chamor here. So, we mentioned that the Gemara in Yuches and Aleph suggested as a Havamina that if you hold Ein Zika, then you would also hold Mutter Levatim Mitzvah Yav. That also Levatim Mitzvah Yavmin is actually predicated somehow on Zika. So we'll hopefully dive much more deeply into that later. But even for now, if you want to salvage this holistic perspective on El Sevatim, says Yavin, maybe that could be the way to save the day. In other words, when you are very much already, in some sense, in the middle of the mitzvah, when you already are chal of chovas ha-mitzvah, maybe you're already, in a sense, osek v'mitzvah, depending on how you look at what's going on with Zika, then patching yourself from it may be much more chum. Now, if you're wearing dal kampos and then you snip off the one of the kampos, I don't know, is that usher? Think about that, or is that just the usual Eden Rizka?
The fact that Zika means that it affects together the mitzvah, it affects something else. Right? The mitzvah is where you definitely have, I would think.
Even if you say in Zika. Right. Right. So from the Chalistic perspective, the Chalistic should be enough to say that I have a mitzvah right now. Meaning the mitzvah is already chal on me, and now I'm uprooting it. Now, again, but the Rishonim by Shabbos have this idea of Gimel Yom Kodesh Shabbos, Chol Olav Chovas HaShabbos. But you have to figure out how serious that is. It's not the same as actually being on Shabbos or something like that. Right, so maybe Zika somehow saves the day, that through Zika or just the mitzvah Zibum HaMutelas Olav creates this greater tzeruf, this greater sense that the mitzvah is already completely upon you, such that being Madche B'Yadayim would be much more problematic. Even just from the perspective of your general approach to mitzvahs. This, in some senses, this is actually a little bit reminiscent of like Osik B'Mitzvah, Patur B'Mitzvah, in that discussion. Which relates to Meir's triage point. That, according to some Rishonim, I think it's prominent as well, that if you're osik in one mitzvah, it's usur to stop in order to do a different mitzvah. So that may be very important in the context of the, naftul lufan of shtei achayos, I can't even do mitzvahs yibum because the chova of the other yibum v'chalitza is already chal me. So I'm already involved in it. Therefore, even in the interest of one mitzvah, I cannot be mevatel the other mitzvah. Another way, perhaps, to salvage this approach that the problem is general, bitul mitzvah asay, is to say that this is just a more important mitzvah. In other words, even if we could prove that by most mitzvos, we don't go this far, we don't go nearly this far, with how much you have to be choshesh to not potentially cause a p'tor in the future, maybe mitzvah zibum is just so much more critical and important. It's like a mitzvah rabbah that even from a Kalistic perspective, we would take the concepts of from the sugya of Inan Ritzchon and things like that a step further. So maybe it's just like a more humor version of the general problem of patterning supplements. Something to consider. I thought one could throw in, especially if you say that Hakam Hashem is like a Benon Chavero, you're helping out your brothers in Shama. So Rios Vengel has this idea in Asim Dreisa that we don't look at Ptor Ones the same way when it comes to Bein Amachaveros, because, Hakaimi Aniyim, the guy still needs the Makeh, he still fell off the roof. So maybe if Hakamas Shem is like this critical Bein Amachavero obligation to the brother, so it becomes that much more critical not to potter yourself from the mitzvah, even if from a strict legal perspective you can say, look, I was potter, so, what do you want? Now, one could also argue the other side of that coin, that within this qualistic perspective, also Vatel, maybe over here it should actually be more Kal. So why would that be? The Nor Shraga and Beis Otsar point out that there's something about Mitzvah Yibum that Lechora shows us that maybe Dafka here, it's more okay to get yourself out of it. A.K.A. Mitzvah Chalitza. The Torah said the Verush, if you don't want to do it, here's an out. So maybe that shows us the mitzvah Yibum is more kal in that sense, that the Torah is inviting you, if you should desire, in lo yachpo tzayish, that it's okay to get out of it with mitzvah chalitza. So hu adin, why not get out of it in other ways too, by creating a Torah erva or whatever. Now, that assumes that there's no special value to getting out of the Zika via chalitza, right? And that could be gufa. Maybe that's gufa the question. If also levatim tzayz yavmin, mutz levatim tzayz yavmin, is there some sort of positive value in chalitza? Is it more of a mitzvah or is it more of a matir? Famous discussion, especially in the Achrod. Fine. So basically, what I think we've shown is that it's difficult to take this more chalistic approach to us levatim tzayz yavmin all the way, which is why even those Achronim who bring it up end up being mistayeg from it mostly in the end. However, we've also shown that maybe there is some merit to it, maybe there are tzveidin and also lachem tzis yavnin, maybe particularly the case where you're being vatim tzis yavnin shalo b'makom mitzvah, you're just randomly marrying the krovas yavimto, maybe there it's more shayach to this general issue of taking Karen Orr called the srach iser, taking this approach of trying to get yourself out of mitzvahs. Whereas, especially when we're talking about avoiding mitzvahs yibum in the interest of not being vatal the other yibum chalitza, this qualistic approach that, oh, you're being poter asma mitzvos, l'chora is much more difficult. Right. Of course, as my father mentioned, the fact that the chobas ha-mitzvah and maybe the zika has been chal alav already, in this case of yibum, may be very significant, such that even we could look at it as almost like a you're already osik the mitzvah yibum in a sense way. So maybe that's a way again to salvage this this more klalistic perspective on also the vayatul mitzvah yad. Fine. So I want to move on to a number of other approaches to understanding this thing. So these other approaches are all within the more general mahalach that this is a much more specific din to yibum. So first of all, perhaps the first idea that comes to mind when you see this concept also v'atam mitzvah yavnin is that mitzvah yibum is just really, really important. The achieving the totzah of hakamas shem achiv is so critical. The haraya, we're willing to be ma'adche and erva chamura of eishas ach to achieve this result of yibum hakamas shem. So certainly kol shekein, you should take the achrayus to ensure not to be mevatel it, not to bother yourself from this. Fits within the broader dechuya type of perspective to yibum, which again sees the fact that we're being madcha the Yisra Yishas Ach as reflecting the great strength, the great power and importance of the mitzvah of Yibum, that it's able to be doche this erev chamura. And that shows us that achieving this result of Hakamas Shem is very critical. So this mahalach would help us understand a lot of the surprising powers of this din, right? That we're willing to go very far with shashos, chayshin lemisa, we even make zeros atu, betel mitzvahs yavnin, the Ramban's idea that man dechayish afilos fekachayish. Again, maybe this whole idea of also the batel is that you must ensure that this critical result of hakamas shem achiv is achieved. Right? We know how terrible ariri is, etc. It's just really critical. Right, almost like mishmeres, where something's like bivada. You have to ensure that it's bivada, like we see by Kaji.
Suffolk isn't acceptable.
But what about the case on your ches? Say you're ensuring chalitza in that case, you're not going to make shame.
So that's the critical assumption or weakness, depending how you look at it, of this whole mahal. Right.
No,
this.
So Lisa, it's only helps if you, by preventing marrying
Afro. Right. So, also about Musa's Yavmin, in some cases, is telling you not to be evil. And said to chalitza. So this mahalach l'chora has to assume that chalitza also achieves hakam hashem achiv. So is that possible? So yeah, there is a way to look at it that way. They quote the Zohar that the chalitza is also a masgula l'nishmas hameis. Again, it certainly would want to take the approach that chalitza is a full-fledged mitzvah, not just a matir, within this perspective. And l'chora, you'd have to go a step further, more in the direction of the Zohar, that there's actually a positive kiyum in the chalitza. I saw some of the things Sra Amor talks about, like it maybe may provide like a menucha, l'nishmas hanes, l'nishmas... Meaning it's a shevach.
Yeah.
Right, that there's a positive, there's a lashon in Yishalmi, that there's a positive value to chalitza. Right? Yishalmi's choker is chalitza shevach or gnat.
You could also say, that's what I said, even if it isn't, the fact that you have to undergo the humiliation of chalitza still makes the point of kiyeshwa and yakta, and it's still different than just being mufkata. meaning there's still a keel, a statement of, you know, of an unfulfilled, you know, obligation. The process still has a positive addition to, let's say, the goods of the neshama are intrinsically valuable in other ways. It highlights, you know, the preference, ironically, it'll be interesting, highlights the preference of evil and how problematic it is to avoid it. Even when you're avoiding it, that's key.
Right, but would that be a reason to do chalitza rather than evil?
You know, I guess if the counter pressure is great enough, but the point is at least you're making that, you know, that statement.
Right. Right, and we could construct different mahalchim to try to bring out this point of the positive value of chalitza, and we have this idea on Daf Mem that maybe even the achacholetz will get the Yerushas Hameis, right, that, which seems to indicate that the achacholetz is actually carrying on the legacy and the Hakam HaShem in some sense of the mace. It creates base chalitza now, right? Again, the Yerushalmi has this chakira, is chalitza a kinyan or a matir? So maybe if chalitza is a kinyan, so again, somehow, again, this requires its own chavura, but somehow the chalitza creates this base chalitza now, maybe it, relating to what my father-in-law is suggesting, and it somehow also creates a perpetuation of the legacy of the mace, and in that sense is a kiyum of Hakam HaShem. If you want to look, there's an interesting article by Moshe Lichtenstein in this Get Online, it's also in, I think it's called Maimar Yevamim, a volume they put out a few years ago, where he develops this mahalach in chalitza, about how it, how, what does it mean for chalitza to be a kinyan and to be a sort of creation or continuation of the bais. Fine, so that's a huge assumption that you have to make if you want to say that the yisod of Asa Levatel is the critical nature of the totsa of Hakam HaShem. Now, another assumption you'd have to make in terms of the scope of the din is that lechora, if the point is that, again, we have to achieve Hakam HaShem at all costs, so first of all, the fact that the Gemara says Lemisa Detrei Lo Kaishinan here does show that there is a limit, right? We don't go ad hasof. So it's not quite a, you know, mishmeres, no sfeikos allowed din. But also, the other questions I raised about other sneaky ways to get out of Yim Chalitza, lechora would be problematic also the Vatel if the idea is that Hakam HaShem is so critical. So the guy who was Mitzaris himself makes himself a Mumar. So those are also, you know, not achieving Hakam HaShem. Now, would you go so far as to say even the people, you know, the couple who agree not to do Yibum V'chalitza, right? So Lechora, they're also not achieving Hakam HaShem. And some Achronim do bring up also the Vatel to Siyadmin in the context of that discussion. Monik Yontif, Ritzkal Chanan, but not in quite the way you might expect. These Achronim, or Yontif, Yitzchol Chanan, they don't say that by being misbatel mi yibum chalitza b'shev al taseh, that itself constitutes bitul mitzvah z'yav. No. Bitul mitzvah z'yav is when you actively pater yourself. You undo the zika in a different way. But they say, from the fact that there's a notion of asur levatel mitzvah z'yav, which tells us that we'd even sacrifice yibum in order to ensure that you can at least get chalitza, that shows that chalitza is not purely a matir, purely an exit strategy or like a get or something like that. Chalitza must have some positive value as a mitzvah. In Cain, we should be kofed that the couple should at least do mitzvah chalitza, kfiyala mitzvos, because it's a positive mitzvah, it's not just a matir. So that's the way some achronim approach it. But we'd have to figure out, again, if the idea of also the battle is that it's critical to ensure the totzah of Hakam HaShem, again, it's a little funny that this is phrased as an isser. If, right, maybe it should have been chayav l'kayim mitzvah z'yibum, if this was the point. But from that perspective, l'chora, it would be aser also to just sit back and not do yibum or chalitza. Again, maybe not quite as aser, you're not doing it b'yadayim, it's b'shev al taseh. But maybe another nekuda to think about, would remaining bizikasa be quite as bad from the perspective of Hakam HaShem? Maybe if she remains in the zika, then you aren't completely undoing and unlatching the base hames, right? Especially if you assume that the zika is itself somewhat a continuation of the issues of the mace or of his legacy and bias. So if they decide to remain, she's going to remain her whole life in that zika, rather than getting yourself out of zika through Torah Erva, maybe that's not so bad from the perspective of Hakam HaShem.
Or maybe it isn't Hakam HaShem as much as it is the expanded concept of Mishpacha. That's another way to formulate Chalitza, and then the Zika might be good enough for that.
Right.
Although there might be an open question, meaning by virtue of the fact that you do, that's another key of the Chalitza, that you need the Matir, because Matir expresses that, you know, there is a, that's Kieshu Akam Yakhtav, that there's this wider, you know, concept of Mishpacha, and this idea of, you know, even if they just have some of these conditions. So then you could, if you take that perspective, it's an open question whether the Zika already does that, you know, as long as you're not just, you know, making sure that doesn't happen, or whether, you know, even then, like, resolving the Zika becomes a necessity.
Right. And it reminds me a little bit of the inyan of being mefarnes the almana kol yemei megar al menuseich. As long as the almana, as some Rishonim explain, is still being mechabe the dead husband by sitting, you know, ba'almanos chayus, and not getting married to someone else, that is itself a covenant to the dead husband and remaining in his bias to some extent, which may have a lot of implications. So maybe that's another sort of positive perspective on remaining with the Zika. Yeah.
Just in the last conversation, also about those equally mutal on the Obama.
What would be the nafkamina?
In the first formulation, she's...
You're saying, like, if she's the one who says, I don't want chalitza?
She's the one who... He's fine not doing Yibum Chalitza, and she's encouraging it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a general Bidl Mitzvah, so...
Right, so this goes back to the question of who has the...
Who's
right? Kiev? Does the woman have Mitzvah Yibum? Does the woman have Mitzvah Chalitza?
It's a Kama Shem, so in Chora, what matters?
So. Chora, you're saying she's not the one who's in charge of a Kama Shem Achiv?
Meaning, or she's preventing a Kama Shem, even if she doesn't have the Kiev to do Yibum Chalitza.
Okay, but if the Hakamas Shem, you have to figure out, does she bear any responsibility for the Hakamas Shem? Meaning, if a person who's not relevant to the Hakamas Shem is Ma'akev the Hakamas Shem, I don't know if that would be quite the same level of Isser.
I mean, that's the whole question with Rishon. I mean, she's the one who's having the kid, even if...
Exactly. So, right, maybe she's the most relevant to Hakamas Shem, right? She is really the living embodiment of the Beis HaMeis.
I'm saying, right, we might be pulling on the Isser Levatel and the person who doesn't have the Kiev, which might be almost ironic.
But I don't see what we've said that's Ma'akev to that.
You have to.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, so, right, it's definitely an interesting question to what extent this would apply to the Isha. And obviously, you have to look at that in light of the general chiyuv of Isha v'Yibum Chalitza. Yeah. Okay. And. Fine. So, I want to move on to another approach to Asur Levatel. Given, you know, some of the major assumptions and downsides that the previous approach may carry. So another way to look at it, perhaps, and you might have to combine this with the previous approach or with some of the coming approaches, is to take the precise opposite mahalich to what the Nehor Shraga and the Beis Otzar suggested about what Chalitza tells us about Yibum Chalitza. In other words, Nehor Shraga and Beis Otzar said, from the fact that Torah gave you an exit strategy by Mitzvah Yibum, which is not the normal, you know, mahalich by Mitzvot, that shows us that, in a sense, this is particularly kal, that the Torah is inviting you to decline this mitzvah if you want. Maybe one could say the opposite, that by most mitzvahs, the Torah says, here's the mitzvah. Obviously, if you're putter for whatever reason, then you're putter. No further questions asked. But by Yibum, the Torah is saying, no, Yibum or Zika or something is so critical, and the chova upon you is so strong that if you're going to somehow not do Yibum, you must at least do Chalitza. From this perspective, we're not emphasizing, oh, the Torah gave you an exit strategy. We're emphasizing the Torah was mechayev you to exit dafka with this strategy. So maybe that could be the yesod for Asur Levatel. Yeah, again, according to most Rishonim, we're dealing with the Din D'Rabbanan. But maybe this is what Chazal extrapolated in Doraisa, in the spirit of this, the nature of this mitzvah, the fact that the Torah said in this mitzvah there is a specific methodology that must be used to get out of this mitzvah, that shows us that intentionally getting yourself out of it through a different method would be problematic and would be, in a sense, a bitul mitzvah, mashen kein b'shar mitzvahs.
How different is that from what you said previously?
Meaning in the Kalistic perspective?
Yeah.
So,
except that it's more pratik, but
right. That's all. Meaning, I'm just saying, not only is this a worse bitul mitzvah from a general perspective because the chov is already mutal upon you, something in Hilchos and the Psukim themselves of Yibam Chalitza tells us that particularly in this mitzvah, it's problematic to try to get out of it in other ways.
I'm reminded there's a, like a Rashi and that Gimel when Aleph, and the Gemara suggests by Erva, the Mishnah said, Pontos, or
Osos, right?
Havamina Chalitza, so Rashi has a Lashon there that, I would have Havamina, you know, that as soon as Chalitza, because how can I, you know,
That Rashi is not look. I mean, it could be that Rashi is saying that like chalitza is somehow like a kiyum, like Rashi had, but like Rav Chanan also says that chalitza is also just the absence of the bittul of yibam. So like the fact that Rashi would put chalitza together doesn't, you can't say for sure that that means like that's like a positive or something. It could just be, well, if this is the exit strategy, so mainly you're not going to be mavatal yibum if you do that, as opposed to if you did something else where that.
Right. So I mean, I think your machlokas is gufa on how to look at aslavatim. Says yeah. In other words, Rashi, I'll leave that Rashi. Thanks for bringing it up. So that sounds a lot like the perspective of aslavatim. Says yeah. But now I think you guys are basically having machlokas. How do we look at aslavatim? Says yeah. Meaning, it's, or your machlok is parallel to that machlok. Right? Okay. Yeah, so I saw Rav David Pavarsky in his shirim suggest something like this, that the Torah is matir to mivatul yibum dafka al yidei chalitza, and therefore it's also to mivatul in a different way. Now, this idea, and this is going to be a recurring theme throughout the book, is a little bit reminiscent of the Isser of Yivam Malashuk, or at least the way the Torah formulates it. Lo siya eishas hameis hachutz elizor. This might relate to our previous points about Hakam Hashem as well. That maybe, you know, it's interesting, the Torah, the first thing the Torah says about Yibum in the Parasha is, given the situation of Yibum, keishu achim v'hulei, lo siya eishas hameis hachutz elizor. The Torah doesn't say, oh, you should do Yibum, and if not do Chalitza, oh, and while you have Zika, then lo siya elizor. No, the very first thing the Torah says is, lo siya eishas hameis hachutz elizor. Given that this woman was already part and parcel of this family and this bias of the mace, an ikker part of the whole yesod of mitzvah yibum is not to throw her out, of this family unit, which may be a din klapi her, as the Sefer Batan emphasizes, but also ensure, given that she is a person who has the capability of continuing the bias and the legacy of the mace, keep her in the family. And therefore, do you? So, perhaps taking her, finding a way to get her out of Yibum, to undo her Zika, to unleash her Zika, not through Yibum Chalitza, might be, again, on the Drabanan level, a violation of the Yesod that comes out from Lo Siyeh Shemei Sahuza Lizar. So, think about it. Now, from this perspective, I don't know why we would necessarily. It's hard to understand from this perspective why there are such chashos v'chokos and extra gzeros on top of this din. Yesh ladun. Again, you could explain a lot of these chashos in more tactical ways, like Tosos. Well, chashin misa here because it's zman meruba. Why are there additional gzeros over here? I'm not sure. Presumably, one could find a technical explanation for that. But on the other hand, no, maybe. Maybe the fact that this may relate to the Hakam Hashem point as well, maybe the fact that the Torah said you must stop the exit through this strategy of Chalitza shows us that doing one or the other is critical. And you must ensure that either one or the other is done. Again, the very fact that the Torah gave us a backup option, right? Don't think of it as an exit strategy, think of it as a backup option. The Torah is saying, Mitzvah Yibum is so critical that you must at least do Chalitza. Right. And, you know, also worth considering, those who think that chalitza is dafka bizoyon of the ach for refusing yibum, punishment or knas, you know, some people say it's different lashonos, Hagos Mamonio says we go, you know, at the chalitza we go and call them a rasha. So maybe that's part of this idea. In other words, that the Torah is saying, look, if you're not going to do yibum, then you must bear the consequences. You must go through this chalitza ceremony and be misbazeh in a way that highlights the legacy of your dead brother. You can't just quietly sneak out of it and bear those consequences. So again, maybe patrim yourself through erva is a bitul of the kavanas haTorah in mitzvah talitza. In that way, you're getting yourself out of it, avoiding the mitzvah, avoiding the kavanas shame, without bearing the consequence of chalitza. Fine. Now I want to move on to what I think is my preferred mahalif in understanding the Yesod HaDin of Asa Dabata. So we mentioned, I think, let's see, in the Mechor sheets, I think I have a section entitled Hakesher Lezika. Could call it Lezika to Zika. Starting from source 22. So we mentioned that the Gemara on Yudches Mahalif suggested, as I have, you know, the E Ein Zika Tibotel. If you hold Ein Zika, then maybe we could be Mavatim says Yad. The Har Gamliel Amar Ein Zika, but Mavatim says Yad. And at least within Rav Gamliel, those two things seem to go together. Rav Gamliel holds Ein Zika, and he holds Mutar Levatim Mitzvah Yad, at least in some things. Now, lest you think that this connection, this mysterious, seemingly mysterious connection between Zika and Osavatim and Tzaziyavim, again, why would you have to say Zika and Osavatim and Tzaziyavim, is merely a Havina. According to the way many of you shown and read the Gemara on Chavzayin Lebeis, source 23, the Gemara there is actually saying this, you know, Lamaskana, for real. The Gemara over there uses the phrase Zika in a way that, according to many of you shown him, actually means Osavatim and Tzaziyavim. The Gemara there is talking, would we apply in Esra? So the Gemara says, Hani mi lehecha dekoi ba'apo iser achal isha do raisa. Abalacha zika derabonon hi. So they're saying, oh, according to this read of the Gemara, you're not going to say in Esra based on a zika derabonon prop. So we showed him, say, wait a second, we're talking within Rav. And Rav holds ain zika. So why are we saying there's a problem of zika derabonon? So if you look in, already in Tosfos, quotes the Rach, source 24, Rav l'tayim meidomar ein zika, da'afagav da'asr mishum bitul mitzvahs yavmin. Really, the Isser here that we're talking about is bitul mitzvahs yavmin. Lo chashiv hap Isser, lo Isser olamis, etc. So, Tosfos doesn't spell it out, but the Rach is assuming that the Gemara used the word zika, and it really means also that mitzvahs yavmin.
It's the case that it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter as much for our purposes, but, again, it's one of these cases where you have, I think it's two sisters, Beis Achayos Yivamos Shenafu Lefnei Yavam Echad. Right? So what's the problem? So if you hold Ein Zika, the problem must be also Vatim Tzaziyav. So the Rashba spells this out, source 25. He says, Hadam Yinacha Zika Drabamani, La Zika Ma'amish Kamar. We don't really mean Zika, because Rav doesn't hold by that. Rather, El Mechayim Huda Sirele, Mishum Nekam Vatil La Lezika, V'osur Levatim Tzaziyav Mimi Drabamani, Hamal Mesa Mutens. So, it's also what's Midaik in this formulation here. But first of all, he's saying very clearly, Raman also says in the Ritva, that the Gemara here is using the phrase Zika to refer to also the Vatam Tzaziyav. What exactly is going on with that? And this point is made in an even more clear way in the Tosis Rid, source 28, Yitzayin Lebeis. He says over there, in the second paragraph, Nechayim Lod, also the Vatam Tzaziyav Yivama. It's also we don't say ein zika to such an extent that it should be mutter to mevatel the zika. And the Rashi's formulation in source 25 also sounds like this. Why are we calling Asavatel Zika? Because the Isser is Bitul HaZika. So when you say Yesh Zika, you're saying Zika creates enough of a Ishus or Ke Ishus that it's like an Isser Erva to marry her Krova. And if you say Asavatel Mitzvah Yavmin, you don't say quite that, but you say, look, there's the Zika here. It's also to mean Levatel Zika, to destroy the Zika. Okay, so now we have to figure out, so what's wrong with being Levatel Zika?
Can you just clarify that? How is that different from what you said? You said two options, or
No. I was just elaborating. Okay. Yeah. Meaning, we have here this idea that Asavat Matzas Yamed somehow stems from a lower threshold, a smaller amount of Zika than the Yesh Zika amount. And somehow that creates Asavat Matzas Yamed. And the way the Rashi and Tosfos read are highlighting it is that it's also to mivata the Zika.
Right, meaning you still could have said that the Zika is a shiur just in either the Tziruf or the Mitzvah Rabbah or the Takla. I mean, some of the other things you could say.
Right, I mean, if not for Chazayin and the Rashba and the Rid.
Yeah, right. Especially Tosfos read, it's really saying that, you know, Slav Dafka, and maybe that's also why it's even the Chalitza. Because it isn't reviewed Chalitza, it's a Zika.
What do you mean?
The mitzvah's, you know, Levatel.
Meaning why they call it Yavmin?
Yeah.
Right. Because it's really about the Zika.
Right.
Right. Right. So, in other words, if we only had Yud Ches and the notion that you need to say Yej Zika in order to say also Levatel says Yavmin, then we didn't necessarily have to say anything so fancy. We could have gone back to the more Kolistik Mahaltim and said, if you say Yej Zika, then that creates a strong enough tseruf and locks you into the mitzvah sufficiently that we say it's also to pat yourself in the mitzvah. However, now that we have the Rach's read on Daf of Zion and the formulations, especially of the Rashba and the Tosos Rid, it sounds like actually the whole yesod of this Isser of Asr Levatel is that it's also to Mimavatel Zika. So we have to figure out what that means and what is wrong exactly with Mimavatel Zika. Meaning, you're saying halacha lemaisa. What's the difference between once you hold asavatim says yavmin? Is there any nafkamina lemaisa to the fact that you hold ein zika? Is that you're asking?
Yeah.
So mechayim versus lachar misa is the simple nafkamina. Okay. So asavatim says yavmin is only when that the yavama is still alive. So you are actually preventing the yibum. Whereas if you said yesh zika, then your zikuka already became your krova. So even lachar misa, Zika the Chilapaka, etc., you'll still be usher in her Krova. Yeah.
And also, Sara Selvali, the Zika would only exist. I mean, that's even Mechayim. That
right, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of expansions to the Isurim that are only going to be via Zika. Exactly. Now, it's an interesting question. The other side of the coin, Nafkamina, given that we hold Yesh Zika, is there any Nafkamina to the question of whether we also paskin also Levatam and says Yavnin? So that's a very interesting question. It's not super clear. I saw last night this 500-page kuntres on Osu Levatel from Sankolo on Otsra Chachma. I got through about 5 of the pages. And he said that there's a tshuva in Tshuva's Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, some in some Gimel of Ezra, I think, where he tries to mivayer this question of whether do we pass on Ocha Maise Osu Levatel Mitzvah Yavmin, and what would be the nafkamina? Given that we already hold the Yesh Zika, right? So is there any additional Isser that you get through also Levatel Mitzvos Yavmin, given that we already hold the Yesh Zika? Now, some of the Nafkaminas might be some of the wilder applications of also Levatel Mitzvos Yavmin that I suggest. In other words, if you say that also Levatel Mitzvos Yavmin goes beyond Tor Erva and also is an Isser to create other more sneaky Pturim to get yourself out of Yibum, so that would expand beyond the scope of what's also to the Yesh Zika. Right, especially if it's relevant to the case of, you know, people who want to avoid Yibum Chalitza B'Shev El Tais. But none of the Achronim thought that, again, that Shev El Tais would be a direct Islevat Mitzvot Yavim. But, okay, so that's Ochaz and Moed.
Also, certainly, if you think Islevat Mitzvot Yavim is at least a Tzrach, Dereisa, so Achaz and Kukasa would be a Zerabach.
Ah, well, that may also have a Dereisa element to it, right? There are a lot of indications in Rishonim that Zika may be a concept of the Raisa. The Rambam seems to phrase it as a concept of the Raisa.
In a Rambam, the Isra Krolos is Rabbanon.
Right, but it's a Rabbanon application, according to the way some Rabbanon look at it, right? It's a Rabbanon application of a Yesod the Raisa. So I think it's getting pretty close, but yeah.
I hear what you're
saying. Right. Or if you don't go with the Karanor, right? If you go with the way the Horshraga originally phrased it, where Rabbi Yosef Engel phrased it in Beis Otzer in one place, then it's like an outright Isra the Raisa. Yeah, so then you've upped the ante from usually. Okay, so we have to explore what is this deeper connection between zika, or a milder version of yesh zika, and also levatel mitzvas ya. So again, it could go back to this issue of tzeiruch, that because you have such a strong connection, such a strong zika to the mitzvah, to the yevama, it's just a more flagrant form of bitul mitzvah biyadayim, the way some achronim seem to phrase it. Maybe in a sense, if you say zika is itself a halachic construct and chalos, you aren't just getting yourself out of the mitzvah, you're destroying the mitzvah. Right? It's not as often that you have the ability to actually destroy some sort of halachic creation. If the Torah created this zika, and we have to add a lot more time in the milsa into it, but the Torah created this zika, you're not just sneaking out of it. Now, depending on how you pot yourself, you might not just be sneaking out of it, you might be actively destroying this halachic creation and construct known as zika, which we'll explain what that would mean, what would be so problematic about that. Now, this is going to go, obviously, to the question of what zika really is, right? Which would help us understand what's so bad about destroying it. I think if you want to start to understand this mahalach and Tozerid, Rashba, etc., that there is an isser of bitul hazika, then you would want to assign, to understand this, you would want to assign more positive value to the zika itself. It's not just a mitzvah in waiting. Again, maybe it is. If you want to say this is a more kolistik adin, and this is just a more biyadayim form of getting yourself out of mitzvah. But if you want to say it's a more specific din to yivam, and I think fits much better with this this whole mahalach, that it actually stems from the din of zika per se, and it's isur bitul hazika, perhaps the zika itself, again, represents the continuation of beis achiv, maybe even the ishus of achiv. Right, as you know, some indications of Rishonim would tell us. Whether or not you say it's mamish, the ishus of the ach, either way, the zika may represent the continuation of the legacy and the bias of the ach, which is then supposed to come into full fruition by being miyabim, or maybe also by being kolates. But instead, by patterning yourself, by being mevatel hazika, you're essentially taking an axe to base off of. You're destroying, you're doing the opposite of mitzvah zivum. You're not just getting yourself out of eating. You're destroying beis achiv. You're mevatel beis achiv, mevatel hazika. Now I want to take this a step further, which will hopefully also make it a little more mistab. I want to suggest that it's not a coincidence that the Gemara only brought up also levatel in the context of creating a Ptor Erba. I haven't seen anyone who suggests these creative expansions of, oh, also the batel, you can't be Messiah's Atmo, make yourself a Mumar. Okay, these are all crazy, but you could have found other ones. You can't create some other Ptor from Yibu. No one seems to say that. Gemara certainly doesn't, as far as I know. It seems to be specifically a din in patterning yourself by creating an Erev. And again, this is not surprising, given that we're saying it has a lot to do with Zika, or a moderated version of Yehu Zika. So what's going on? So I want to build on my father-in-law's Mahalif in understanding the nature of Ptur Erva and Saras Erva in Yibum, which really stems from his larger approach to Yibum in general, what he calls like a super hutra kind of approach to Yibum as a kiyum in the wider concept of mishpacha and ki yeshuach miach. Again, the Torah, you know, start the whole parasha of Yibum, even before we get to Losei Shesamei Zachutza, with ki yeshuach miach. That's the whole background and basis of Yibum. It's the notion of achva and the Torah's expansion of the responsibility of both achva and ishus in a way that converges in mitzvahs yibum. Again, I don't have time to rehash that entire mahalach, but we'll try to use some Rashi Prakim just to get what we want to build on. So from that perspective, yeah, meaning I'm a few steps, I'm taking a few steps back to hopefully get us back to why there's an Isra Levatel Zikva. Okay? So within this super hutra kind of approach to Yibum, it's not that, oh, there's this goal of Hakamas Shein, this Totsah of Hakamas Shein that needs to get accomplished, it's really important, so therefore we can be Doiche Achamor Erva Veshazah. No, it's actually the opposite. It's that given the basis of this family relationship of Eshazah, that this woman, this sister-in-law, has entered into the larger family, the larger mishpacha of Kiyeshuach and Yachtav. This is echoed particularly in the idea of Nisun and Rishonim Apilim, right? Even by just getting married into a family, there's already an echo of Yibum involved in that. So she has entered into this family. That relationship, that bias which is created, which expands outward to the entire group of the Achim, the Achva, the Keshav Achim Yachdav, bears a responsibility to ensure the continued legacy of Beis Achiv should he die without children. And actually, from this perspective, you don't have to say this part, but could be, this is part of why you would call it Super Hutra, the fact that the Yavama is Eishes Achiv is not a problem in the Yibum that we have to overcome because Hakam Hashem is so important. It's actually the very basis for the ability to do Yibum. Because this relationship of Eishes Achiv, which Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah is so problematic when it, as a Yishus type of relationship, is actually the basis and the foundation for what allows Mitzvah's Yibum to occur. That she is the person who continues the base Achiv, the legacy of Achiv, which can then continue via the Yibum with that Ach. Building on that larger perspective, which again I've only given very small Rashi Prakim, one can understand better the Ptur of Erva, and especially Tsaras Erva from Yibum, that in the context of Yibum, the Torah is particularly sensitive to any shemets of Erva. In other words, right, the whole notion of Tsaras Erva is very surprising. Also surprising that we're starting the Masechta with it, starting the Seder Noshim with it. Even if you can understand Ptur Erva, the notion of expanding even to Tsaras Erva, which Lo Matzinu Klal Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah, and the Gemara even has an Admin of Daftes that maybe Erva itself is only a problem B'Makom Yibum. So if Yibum is this super hutra kiyum in Mishpacha, and the a heightened understanding of the Kedusha and the Achrayus that comes with family relationships, which by its very nature, by doing that, is also dancing at the cliff of Erva, which is like the Abishol problem, right? You're very close to being Erva, but actually if you do it right, then it's this amazing expression of Kedusha. In that context, the Torah is hypersensitive to any Shemetz Shel Erva, and any Shemetz of any other Erva is not just like a Ase Docha Lo Tase problem, oh, we can't be Docha Trei Surei. No, it's a much more fundamental problem than that. It destroys the entire Kedusha, what my father-in-law calls Kedushas Ishus Shel Yibum context, which allows Yibum to take place and to thrive. Now, hope I'm doing a decent job at summarizing. But given that background, I think it makes a lot of sense why Chazal are saying Asur Levatel Mitzvahs Yavmin Dafka by creating a Ptur Erva. So again, we saw based on the Rashba and the Rid, based on one reading Gemara and Chavzayin, that the Isser of Bittul Mitzvahs Yavmin is an Isser of Bittul Hazik. Now, if someone creates a situation where he's no longer a bar yibum, again, the Masaris Atmo or something like that, so that's not really bitul hazika, that's just hafkos atzmo from the zika. Like, an islandess, she's mitchem ha'ibes legamre, at that point you have nothing to do with yibum. It's a totally memela issue and situation. Again, you haven't accomplished Hakam HaShem, that's for sure. But you haven't quite taken an axe to base off in that way. But again, the whole idea of Yibum is continuing the and expanding the Kedushas Ishus of the Ach and that familial relationship in Achrayus via Kedushas Isha Shal Yibum L'Kachalo Isha V'Yibma, which is undermined most flagrantly by the presence of any additional erva, then being mevatel mitzvahs yibum, mitzvahs yavmin, by inserting an erva into the picture is particularly problematic. And one might suggest, again, is not only pattering yourself on the mitzvah, it's doing the very opposite of the mitzvah, which is why it's an iser. It's not just a lack of kiyum a mitzvah, it's also levatel mitzvahs yavmin. You're being mevatel zika. You're, as my father-in-law putting it, savaging the zika. By uprooting it, not just by making it not relevant, right? Which would be the case if you take a more dechuya perspective. Like, well, if there's another erva here now, then einase doched lo tase sheish bokares or trei yisure, so we're stuck, can't do yibum anymore. No. You have this beautiful thing, this base of it, right? An isho shel kedusha. That is something which is waiting. It's in a zika state, waiting to be picked up and continued, waiting for the achrayus, for that bias, for that kedusha, for that zika, to be picked up and continued by the brother to carry on his legacy, which is perhaps what Kama Shein needs. And then you come and you insert an erva into that bias. And again, we're not saying, this is not the same as yesh zika, so it's not like, oh, you're already married to her, so now you're being over on Isser erva. But you're being machnis in erva lebeis achiv, and in that way destroying the basis of evil. And perhaps that's what's wrong with bitul hazika and bitul mitzvah ziyad. So perhaps, you know, one could say that not only is this a lack of hakama shem achiv, this is a stiras beis achiv. This is the insertion of erva into beis achiv, and this fits very well with a more ostros kind of perspective to the problem of erva and tsaras erva rather than potros. Now, remember, of course, the Gemara Maskana, the Mishnah says potros, but as my father-in-law explained in the Shurim, take one example, the Griz speaks of tsaras erva in terms of ostros and just ignores the fact that the Mishnah actually says potros. Why? Because he thinks that the term ostros captures something fundamental about what's really going on with tsaras erva. Even though Lamaskon and the Mishnah opted for the term potros for various reasons. So again, if we take this perspective that erva doesn't just potter from yibum, doesn't just prevent us from being able to accomplish yibum because we can't be doche, but it's an oser. It inserts something negative, something destructive in the very basis of kedushas isher shel yibum and into the base achiv, which then, you know, destroys the very possibility of yibum, then it makes more sense that this actually becomes an isser, at least midrabanan, of bitul hazika, dafka al yidei creating a ptorev.
In saying this, aren't you assuming there's some objective value to the zika, irrelevant of what happens afterwards?
Not necessarily.
But then, like, why should I differentiate between ruining the zika yidei erva and never being mekim shem achiv? Like,
no, because because what I'm trying to suggest is that the problem isn't just that you are not being mekayim shem up, right? The problem is that you were doing a maiseh, which is the opposite. I mean, again, like an ostros perspective on yibum. Whatever, imagine if like there could be a polar opposite of yibum, which is an avera. That's what this is. That's what I'm trying to suggest. That you're not just not being mekayim the value of yibum. You were doing a Maisa Spiras based off it.
But why should I, if there's some sort of value to having a Zika, then I can understand.
No, I mean, the value of the Zika may very well only be as a preliminary to its greater fulfillment in Yibum or maybe even in Chalitza as well. But at the same time, I'm arguing that Zika is itself perhaps a yibum in nascent form, right?
It's meaning, cool.
Right, and in some sense, if we're looking for halachic parallels, this reminds me more of like someone who is mefagel kudshim than someone who, you know, avoids wearing a tzitzis, you know, beged chayav tzitzis. You're taking this institution of kedushas isher shel yibum, which the Torah created, which right now exists in the form of zika, and you're actively passing it and destroying it through this machshava ra, you know, to take the kachim example, through this negative association with erba. That's the suggestion. So now we have to work out just a little more in the details of the suggestion. Yeah, so in some ways, I think this would explain a lot of the phenomena that we pointed out at the beginning of the Chabura. Again, the lashon of Osur Levatel, and also, like my father-in-law mentioned, Mitzvahs Yavmin, because it's not about Mitzvahs Yibum per se, it's really about the Zika. And perhaps would explain some of the extra chumras of this din. Again, because this isn't just a problem of avoiding a mitzvah, it's really, again, a full-fledged isser of creating an erva, inserting an erva, destroying a zika, destroying a base achiv via erva. Therefore, again, the more we view that as such a problematic, destructive act, the more we could justify the greater chumrus that Chazal implanted into this din, in terms of making additional gederos on top of it, and being kosher for extra stekos. However, there's a tricky point which will hopefully lead us to deepen this idea when it comes to the issue of multiple achim and chashash misa. Because we know, as Gemara in Yechesed and Aleph and elsewhere tells us, especially in Chavav, saying that we apply also the achim as yavnin, even if there are multiple achim who could potentially do the mitzvah. Why? Well, the Gemara implies it's because of a chashash misa. Now, we have to work out, this is really a problem, even without my addition, even within, let's say, just the basic Tosas written in Rashba. If the Isser of Bitul Mitzvah Yad is an Isser of Bitul Hazika, so then, if you're destroying your Zika, right? If you marry an Erva, you're definitely destroying your Zika, regardless of what happens with the other brothers. So why is the Gemara saying that the only reason to be to apply also the Bat Mitzvah Yadmin in a case of multiple Achin is because of Chayshin and Lamisa, maybe the other brothers will die, then it'll all fall on you. Either way, you're being Mevatel Hazika. So, perhaps...
Again, sorry, why are you being Mevatel
Hazika? Well, okay, it's an assumption, and we'll talk about how you could reject this assumption, but in my question, I'm assuming that every Ach has his own personal Zika to the Yivam, or the Yivamos, right? So when you marry an Erva, you no longer have Zika. So, if the Isser is Isser Bitul Hazika, so then, L'chora, it should apply no matter how many Achim there are, and you shouldn't need to say Chashin Lamisa to apply it. Because no matter how many Achim there are, I am definitely being Vatam Zika. So there's an amazing Karanora, which I think will help us, which will highlight, I think, the most... Derech HaMelech in addressing this problem, although we could answer it up in more technical ways as well. In source 29, Karen Oran Chavav Amud Beis, he addresses the question, which is not clearly addressed in the Gemara. What about multiple tzaras? Yeah.
Sorry, what is that? If you have one brother with two sisters who are no fault, two different brothers, there is that a problem?
One brother with Shtei Achayot Yivamos Shenachlu Lavana. Yeah, that's a classic also about Mitzvah Yad. And there, it's clearly also even without Chashash Misa, because he's the point man either way, right? Yeah. But my question was, how do we look at the more complex cases when there are multiple Achim? So I would have thought if the Isser is Bitul Hazika, that even if there are multiple Achim, then no matter how many Achim there are, you should still have this problem that you're being Mevatel your Zika. That's my question.
Lefi that, meaning, I mean, there's some says in Shimon on Chesem Biz, but if you had four brothers with one sister-in-law, so one brother doing Yibum is also moving about the Zika to the other three. Why would that not be the
case? Oh, no. Shlichus the Dach and Ka'avi, I mean, that, yeah, it's an important thing to think through, but...
They're bothered with that from Shimon, they have to figure out how it works. I'm afraid of Pukka or not.
Well, they're trying to figure out whether it's... how to look at the Zika of the other Achim, given that one of them ends up addressing it, right? Is it Kiknusa? But... I mean, I don't see that as so much of a kasha as a ara, that, yeah, I mean, this question forces us to get more knee-deep into Zika and to understand how Zika operates, and how to look at a situation where one Ach ends up addressing the Zika. Right, is it a Breira the Mafreya that he had the Zika the whole time? Is it not, is a Mekan al Haba, he sucks up all the Zika, or is it totally, totally Shlichusa the Achim Ka'avid? Is it destroying the Zika and creating something new?
It's just obvious that one actualized Zika doesn't mean that this is about us about to, for the other ones.
Right, right, that would be funny. Right, okay, that's a funny thing to think about, right? Why, right, this is like one of the, my father-in-law likes to call the, right, what is wrong with these questions, right? What is wrong with this questions? Right, so why not say that it's also the Matam Mitzvah Yavim by doing Yibum whenever the multiple Achim, because you're Mivatel the other Achim from Mitzvah Yavim. Okay, so right, so we have to, there's clearly an answer, we just have to work out which of the answers we'll take.
Sure, just to be clear, you were also saying that it's not just a bit of Zika, it's a bit of Zika with Achnas of the air, right?
Right, it's that, I want to suggest it's after that open of bit of Zika.
Yeah,
and also, maybe I didn't clarify enough, one could suggest that if you pater yourself from Yibum in other ways, then that might not really be called Bitul Hazika. Oh, certainly not also Lato. Might not even be called Bitul Hazika at all.
Hafkas.
Right, yeah, it might just be called Hafkas Atzmo, and then in Mela, there is no Zika to exist. Whereas here, I'm arguing it's called Bitul Hazika because it's a direct attack on the Zika.
Right.
Because it's inserting an Oyser into the Zika.
You have that in the show, like, I'm sorry.
Right, I mean that type of chiluk. Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. Yeah. Right, so we're trying to think about how to apply this mahalak and how to look at this issue of bitul hazika when you have multiple ach. So, Karen Orr says on source 29, copy base, that what about a case where there are multiple tzaris? Oh, also, I just want to throw in another aura. This case of multiple achim is also interesting to think about from the within the other mahal, one of the other mahals we mentioned about Hakam HaShem. Like, oh, if the Totsav Hakam HaShem is so critical, so you have to make sure it happens. There are other achim who could take care of it. So that actually fits pretty well with Hashash Misa, that, well, you're right, maybe something could happen that you'll be the one. Okay. So Karen Orr asks, we know that we apply B'tul Mitzvah Yadmin even when there are multiple achim. Not if there are three, but if there are two. Right? If there's only one spare ach, ha'ishin l'mistachad, b'tul mitzvah yavim. What if there are multiple tzaros, and you're only creating a p'tor erva on one of the tzaros? Because he's assuming within Tosfos that you don't. There's no din of tzaros erva achar nefila. Does everyone agree to that? I just don't remember. I don't know. Tosfos says it. So given that Tosfos, so you could have a situation where you're creating a p'tor erva only via one of the tzaros, so you're patering one of the tzaros, taking her out of the picture, but you can still do yivam chalitza on the other tzar.
Pashmanayim.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So the Karen Orr wants to know, within this mahalik, is there an Isser Bittul Mitzvah Yavmin on only one tzar? So, again, yeah, from the Hakam HaShem perspective, no problem, right? We have a spare tzara, you know, matkin lo ishateres, and she'll take care of being making shame off it. Great. But the Karen Orr says as follows. L'anias da'itin yirem. Ze'af al pishiyesh l'tzara. Mikol makom ika bitul mitzvahs yadmin min ha'achlois ha'shniya. V'hi miftira b'lo klo. V'chalitza sarasa lo mahani lo. Kevan d'kfar pok azikasa al yidei iser achlois isha. U'v'achim hudvo shaykha bitul mitzvahs yadmin. Kevan shiyesh od ach l'kayim ha'mitzvah. I wish he would have explained more Lakamon. I haven't found where he says it much more. He like references it one time briefly. But anyways, he's saying something fascinating. He's saying that when it comes to the Achim, the Gemara is assuming that if we could ensure that the other Ach would take care of the Mitzvah Yavmin, it would be no problem. The only reason to ever be concerned about Mitzvah Yavmin with multiple Achim is because of Kshash Misa, maybe the other Ach will die, and then I'll be the point man. By the way, it's interesting why Godel Achim is not a factor here, or by Yesh Zika. Right? Maybe you would have thought the Godel Achim is the point man, so maybe he should have the Yisra B'tul Mitzvah Yavim. No one says that. Who would have thought? But the Gemara is assuming that, theoretically, having a backup Ach to do the mitzvah would be fine, as long as there's no chash misa, which is actually true when you have many achim. The Gemara says, lo chashin and yisit a tray, so one of them is allowed to be vatim and says, yeah, fine. Mashein came by a tzara, says the Karen Ora, because if you pater a tzara with ter erva, and then just because you're being kai mitzvahs yavmin on her other tzara, that doesn't help. Because the chalitza that you're going to end up doing on the other tzara doesn't do anything, doesn't have any connection to the tzara who was already patered via ptor erva. That's all he says. Right, I think it's because of the case he's dealing with, but right, same thing, right? Meaning, he seems, this fits very well with like the shlichus of the achim, shlichus of the tzaros kind of idea, that all the tzaros really need, and he's saying this much more by the tzaros than by the achim, obviously. All the tzaros need to receive yibum or chalitza. Okay, if they're all still in the bias, and then you do it on one of them, great. Shlichusa de tzaros ka'am. Havmina in the Gemara and Yuma, you give them a bays that maybe there would be no yibum on someone who has multiple wives. Interesting thing about this context. But either way, there it's fine, because it's like a shlichusa de tzaros ka'abda or something like that. But to kick one of the tzaros out of the zika, to destroy her zika, is automatically usher, even though you have backup tzaros to do the yibum with. So I think this fits very well into the mahalach we're developing. And it might help us explain the kasha that I brought up. It sounds like the Karen Ora also thinks, I think, tell me if you think, have other ideas in Karen Ora, that the Soida Isser is like the Rashba and Tosas Rid, is an Isser Bitul Hazika. However, the way that that is expressed, klapi the tzaros and klapi the achin, is going to be very different. In two ways. One, if we can build on something that I believe Avrami suggested a few weeks ago, that the connection of Zika is really the ikar on the wives, right? Especially in the Rambam, who associates, you know, Isser Yivam al-Shuk with the notion of Zika, the wives are fully connected and ensconced in the Beis Hameis and stuck there with an Isser Yivam al-Shuk, in this chalos Zika upon them, in a very serious Yezika way. Masha'en came by the Achen. The Zika is not chal on the Achen and does not bind them in the same way at all as it does the Tzaros. So Memela, when you pater one of the Tzaros, even though you have backup Tzaros, of course that's a problem with Bitul Mitzvahs Yavam, because you are destroying her Zika. Completely. That is a full-fledged Zika, which you are being Bevata. And you're kicking her out of the base off of, you know, if you want to say it's also a little bit in the spirit of Osiyah Shemes Hachutza. You're forcing her out of Hachutza via Erva. You're uprooting that Zika and that potential Kedushas Isha Shalimun by inserting an Oyster of Erva into it. Masha'en Kain, when there are multiple Achin, then there's fundamentally no problem. Because one Ach creating a Ptor Erva isn't actually destroying any real Chalo Zika. It's just destroying, l'chora, his ability to go activate the Zika and be Mekayim Mitzvahs Yibum. Now, you could go a step further within what the Karen Ora is arguing about, like, you know, do you have a Kiyum via the other person? Right? If one of the Achim, it's an interesting question, could you say to some extent, Shlichusa de Achim Ka'ovid, if one of the Achim can't do Yibum? Right? So if one of the Achim creates a Ptor Erva, so now he cannot do Yibum, so would you say that, oh, it's no problem even via that Ach, because he, because when his brother goes and does the Yibum of Chalitza, it'll count for him too. Right? Because an Ach is still an Ach. A Tzara, once her Zika is Paka, she's out of the bias, she has zero Tzair for this whole situation anymore. So obviously, there's no shlichus that tzaros kavda, and tzaros was ready to putter al terva. But the ach is still an ach. Happens to be, he has an equal that he can't be in time even right now because of tor erva. But maybe the Karen Ora is assuming that when one of the achim does the ibum on behalf of the other achim, that's also, to some extent, also a kiyum on behalf of that ach. I don't know if you have to say it.
Why are you saying that? Then you don't have to make it.
Then you don't have to make the other point. Right, yeah, so it's really alternatives in a way.
It's also possible.
So do you want to say that there's individual Zikos for the...
For the Tsaros, but not for the... Right, probably not for the...
collective Zika for the brothers? Or not even
perhaps.
The Zika? More that Beinehem, they have to make sure that it gets done. So
right.
That's the same as the collective Zika.
Right, meaning either way, I want to say one of the formulations that would allow us to say that he's not destroying any Zika.
Right.
He's not Vatala Zika.
Right.
Right. But if you say that you still have like a Shlichus to Achim Ka'ovid, even when one of the brothers is Pater, so then you could perhaps read the Karan Ora in a way that doesn't say this word. You don't have to. It could be saying both. But it seems a little dubious to say that, yeah, we have to figure this out. Allah. To say Shlichus to Achim Ka'ovid in a case where one of the Achim is Iul Amatzi Ovid, again, to what extent is this normal Shlichus? Now, we'd have to go back to the halachic consequences of Shlichus to Achim Ka'ovid in Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Right? Would it really be true that you don't have the nafkaminos of Shlichus to Achim Ka'ovid just because one of the Achim is Pater? I don't think anyone says that, right?
No. But again, remember also that the Rambam dropped it anyway.
Right. Right, so certainly for the Rambam. Right, so that's why I don't think that's such a promising mahalach, even though the Karan Ora sounds a little bit like that. Because he does, at least on the negative side, the Karan Ora, again, you see hints of both ideas in the Karan Ora. He does seem to be a little concerned that, well, once you kick out one of the tsaros, he mifter below klum, the chalitzas tsaroso lo mahanilo. So, I don't know, you know, how much emphasis to put on that. To figure out which idea he's trying to say more primarily. But again, if that's the emphasis, then l'chor you have to say that somehow yibum mechalitzas achiv is mahani for the other ach, even when he has a p'tur erba. Okay, maybe it's true. Again, this is not normal shlichus. Right. So yesh lagan, which one the Karan Ora is really saying? But either way, I think inspired by the Karan Ora, we can answer our kasha. In other words, why is there an issue of Kshash Misa if right now you shouldn't need a Kshash Misa? You're being bought with Zika. So, no, maybe Zika works in a different way. Klapid Achim, either there's only a collective Zika and each Ach doesn't have his own individual Zika, or I think Avrami was suggesting a little bit more extreme, that maybe the Achim aren't bound by the Zika in the same way at all. So when the Ach has a Ptur Erva, it's more of just like more of a hafka that he's just no longer able to participate in the mitzvah rather than any direct attack on the Zika and the base achud itself.
In a way, the pasuk yishu achim yachav, meaning it's a collective, it's not an each ach.
Right.
It's not only the achva.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's interesting to ponder within this mahalach whether this makes us more or less likely to say the Rivan Sefer Hasidim type of idea that you wouldn't want to even set up a situation that could later lead to Bittul Mitzvos Yavam in this way. I think this mahalach does give us a little bit of a basis to say that. Again, when we look at Ptur Erva as such a problematic Oser situation and not just as a again, a Ptur, so even setting up in advance a situation that will lead to that problem, to Spiras face Achiv Alidei Erva, might be very problematic. So I see a certain Natiya towards that Chumrah within this Mahalif. Again, you don't have to say that, especially given Misa Mapelis and there's no Zika yet at all. There's no Zika to destroy. It could be that if Bishas Misa, there was already an Erva, so then Zika never got off the ground, so there's no Zika to destroy, so this whole thing's not relevant. So, Yesh Lagun. Right. Now, another way of saying this, again, another way of addressing the kasha of if the Isra is Bitla Zika, so then even when there are multiple Achim, each one, isn't he being Vatal his own Zika? So, I wonder if another way of looking at it is based on the Gemara Nedarim Ayin Dalid connection of Zika to Breira. That perhaps the Iker Halo Zika is really on whichever ach is going to be miyadim in the end, or is going to be at least the last one left in the end. So therefore, when the Gemara says shash misa, it's not just that, oh, if the other brothers die, then there won't be anyone else left except you to do yibum. No, maybe it's a din in zika. Chayshin and lemisa. And therefore, it will turn out, lemachreya, that the real zika was on you the whole time. And therefore, it will have turned out that your creation of Torah Erva was actually bitul hazika. Another
that, meaning, wouldn't that only work in Rishlam, Rishlam, and Yochanan?
What do you mean?
Because according to Yochanan, if you're saying that ultimately only one of the brothers has a zika, so Yochanan says, but it
why
must
is it
be...
Shichusa? You're saying why is it Shichusa if it's the zika really on that one?
Or like,
Shichusa might be on the mitzvah, not on the zika.
But how did he know that there was no Yisra'eshes Ach? He says, well, everyone could have done Chalitza, so there's no Yisra'eshes Ach. How do you know?
Right, you're saying if you go very Lamafreya, then as far as
meaning,
mitzvah.
I think Uwe
right.
Bochana, I think he quotes Hashem, he expects.
What?
Why is it the Heter and the Zika has to be Tali and Shem? It's Mutra because the possibility that it becomes Chuka slash Yiba.
But if it's just going to be Nisbarer,
Saying if it's like very, very Brera, right?
If it's Brera,
again, how Lamafreya? Is it a Mekana Labo Lamafreya or is it more of a very, very serious Lamafreya? So you're saying if it was like a very serious mafreya, then it turns out that none of the other brothers ever had a possibility of doing it. So you don't have to go that far, right?
Oh,
that's
yes.
I guess that's the question, right?
Okay, so I don't understand what are you suggesting that you can have your cake and eat it too exactly?
I'm suggesting to focus on the zika per se. In other words, if the isser of bitul mitzvah yavnin is an isser of bitul hazika, so l'chora, when there are multiple achim, then the fact that I'm positing myself isn't actually destroying the Zika. Or you'll say it's always destroying the Zika because each one of us has individual Zikos, right? Those two options would be problematic with the evidence of Gemara. So why is Gemara saying no? It's only Bitul HaZika if Chayshin and Lemisa. So my argument is that Dafka, if there will be Misa and I will be left as the sole Ach, as the sole carrier of Zika, then Lamafreya, some sort of Brera-esque type of thing, it will turn out that I actually had the Zika the whole time, such that we view my Nisue Erva as a direct Bitla Zika.
So
the Ach Mary or the Evil Man wouldn't didn't have the Zika, right? Finished the sentence. But if the Ach wouldn't have died and wouldn't have had a Zika there and there would have been.
Right, exactly. Then my mice would not have been destroying the Zika, exactly.
I never had it.
Right, and I don't even need to say that second part. That might be true, according to that, but I don't even need that part. Because, in other words, maybe the fact that I had a chelek in Zika, I was part of the bias, you know, base, the achva, that had the Zika, would not necessarily mean that my marrying Ervo is an attack on the Zika. It might just be a way of getting me out of that unit that has Zika. But the problem is if I end up being the only one to carry the Zika, because if that reality ensues, then my marrying of an Erva would actually be a direct destruction of the Zika itself, because I would be carrying the Zika.
And why, I mean, I guess this is what it was asking on me, but why would there be a heter for a brother who doesn't necessarily have a Zika to Eishes Ach? Meaning, we don't know it's him. So why should I...
Well, no, meaning, whichever, you're saying like, oh, you're saying in the Rabbi Yochanan Shlichus?
Yeah, yeah. So, meaning, I thought what Rabbi Blasky was pushing back is like, Mehechitesi, those two things are totally on one another. I'm just not understanding how you can only go halfway. If Rabbi Yochanan thinks that.
Right, so I think there are two overall ways to respond.
Then, where is there room to say that, well, later I'm going to clarify which one of the individual brothers had a Zika, but even though that's true, still, obviously, all of you don't have Eishes Ach.
Right, so I think there are two broad ways to address your question. One is to say that the matir of Eishes Ach is something else. Again, especially if you take like a very hutra, Rashba, Mem Aleph, like
Me
the situation of Mises Ach Lo Bonim, like automatically means that Eishes Ach is just puck off from the woman. So then you don't, again, and you don't need to say that I have Zika as the basis of me having that head.
But just like it just comes out of nowhere? Like you wouldn't say
you have to figure out where it comes from, but is Zika necessarily the place that it comes from? Right? Zika is not the only factor in Yibum. Even if you say the Zika changes the Mafreya, does that mean that no one ever had a mitzvah the Mafreya? I mean, we could make a lot of finer grain chilukin. And not only that, but we have to be choker if we want to say this Breira idea within Zika, how the Mafreya it is. Maybe it's a little bit more like a Mikanu HaBol Mafreya, which is not denying that Bishas Misa, everyone had some Zika in some way, but maybe when one of them is Miyabin, or when everyone else dies, then we now look at him as in a more Mikanu HaBol Mafreya kind of way, as having had the Zika, or maybe even just the Iker Zika. Enough to say that his Maisa Misui Erva would now be construed as an attack on the Zika. Okay.
On the right, the chilek between the Zika, between the Achim and the Sargah, both the Mishnah and the Darim and the Gemara and the Sugya Vishika bring up the chilek between Beit Achim and Ach Echad. Neither one bring up the chilek between the Sargah. Between how many Sargah?
So you think that's going to do it?
Same.
The same board, right.
Yeah,
saying Isha Beitre Lokad.
Yeah.
Wait, but that could be the reason why this is true. But
right, okay, so maybe, right.
Rashi also doesn't say that.
Who is it?
And we also have to think about whether this whole Isra Bitul HaZika is somehow in this, maybe in the spirit, is like a Kain D'Oraisa, is a Kiyum in Lo Siya Yishtameis HaChutza L'Yizor. Okay. The final Mahalach, just want to mention, we've already brought it up a little bit, just to lay it out there, is that there are multiple, perhaps two, maybe even more, Dinim within Asa L'Vaat HaMitzas Yad. So, why would we take this? So we already saw, Yoni already started pointing out a while ago, I have a section called Shnei Dinim, starting from source 30. There are a lot of suggestions that even Tanoim who say Mutu Labat Mutas Yav in various situations may agree in other situations. So Tosfos says, well, maybe Rabbi Gamliel would agree if it's not a case of Nesua Lo Kvar that also Labat Mutas Yav. So, again, to just go marry someone out of the blue to create a Torah, but maybe Rabbi Gamliel would agree that that's going too far. Tosfos Rosh and Chaftasim Abeis is a nice formulation. In other words, even Tanoim, this is even more suggestive of a Tzvei Dinim idea. Even Tanoim who think that Mutu Levatam Mitzvah Yavnin, if you want to do Yibum, and we would never tell you, according to those Tanoim, don't do Yibum because it'll mess up the other Yibum, they would agree that you can't be Mevatel Bechinam just for a Dvar Rishus, that you just happen to want to marry the sister. The Ritva in Yitzayim Beis, source 32, also draws a sharp distinction between the situation of Bitul Mitzvah Yavmin, the Makom Mitzvah, and Shlom Makom Mitzvah. He says, when you're trying to Mekadesh Achos Yivinto L'chat Chila out of the blue, Shezeh Nireh Kibol La'akor Mitzvah Yavmin, Dema Tivo Eitzel HaPnu Yai, why in the world do you have to marry this woman of all women? It looks like you're trying to directly get out of Mitzvah Yivum, or directly be Mevatel Mitzvah Yivum. So again, that might relate to a more Klolistic perspective on Harama, Bizui Mitzvah, Tatzdekei L'Mitzvah, Nafshemi Mitzvos, things like that. Or maybe he's actually saying, perception-wise, this is actually a more of a problem of an attack on Beis Achiv, because there's no justification for it. But, Yishladim. As opposed to, the Ritva contrasts it, Hashem Yibidah, D'Mitzvah Z'Yibum Shalohu Asuk. Whereas in the other case, he's trying to do one Yibum. So it doesn't look like he's trying to destroy the other Yibum. He's just trying to do Yibum. Happens to be, it'll mess up the other Yibum. Now, another way of formulating the Tzvei Dinim relates to a point that Meir brought up a while ago about trias within mitzvahs. In other words, maybe one could suggest that the problem with Bitul Mitzvahs Yavmin, when you just want to marry the Achosa Nisui Rishus, and there's no mitzvah to marry the sister, Krova, is a fundamentally different situation than that of Nafalufan of Shtei Achayos, trying to assess, am I miyabin one and part of the other, or do Chalitza on both? perhaps dafka in the situation where you're faced with two conflicting yibum obligations, there we have to look at it from an internal yibum triage perspective. And this may help us with the chalitza malkum yibum lav klum problem as well. Perhaps, and this may relate to our previous models about siras beis achiv, perhaps it's lo yitochin, this is only one way of saying it, perhaps it's lo yitochin to be mekaye mitzvahs yibum by destroying the bias of the other ach. Maybe that's an internal problem within yibum. That, again, also vata mitzvahs yavmin, in this context, we take a broader perspective on mitzvahs yibum. If two yibums and two zikos are already upon you, so maybe it's usher and it's pagam in yibum itself, or at least in a non-optimal choice within yibum itself, to do a yibum that creates a torah on a different yibum, to do a yibum that undoes the very foundation and basis of a different. If that's the case, that could explain why there are different tanoim, some of whom hold by din A but don't hold by din B. It's a completely different din. It's weighing the relative needs of two different yibums that are bifonech. Fine. Now I just want to conclude. This is mamish the last section, Ravchel of Asim Ashkiach, with a little vort on the sugi Yuma. So we said that Tosas has this problem. A lot of Rishonim deal with the problem of how to navigate the evidence. I have a section starting with source 44 on this. The problem of Chashash Misa by Bittel Mitzvahs Yavmin versus other areas of Halacha, especially the Chashashos by Backup Kohen Gadols and Eishes Kohen Gadols on Yom Kippur. So, the primary question is, why do we say by Bittel Mitzvahs Yavmin, the Gemara says, L'misa Dechad Chayshinon, L'misa Detrei Lo Chayshinon. So we draw the line at one misa. But in the Mishnah, the end of Yuma, Chachamim say to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to say, Af Isha Acheres Maskinin Lo, then Ein L'Gavar Sof. So Rabbi Yehuda says back in the Gemara in New Gimel, no, L'Misa L'Chav Chayshin, L'Misa L'Trei Lo Chayshinah. But somehow, here, the Chachamim don't want to say that. So the question is, Maishna. So Tosas had suggested on Beis Min Aleph that it was because Chachamim were saying, if you're already taking such a serious perspective to Avodah Zeh Yom Kippurim that you're Choshesh L'Misa L'Zman Mu'at for one day, then apparently you're holding that we can't take even the slightest risk in the context of Avodah Zeh Yom Kippurim. From that perspective, ain't it over so? Because if you can't take the slightest risk, then you should have to have an infinite number of backup watts. I want to suggest another possibility, which may in fact be very related to what Tosa is saying as well. And I realized afterwards, I think it's pretty close to something I once heard from my father-in-law. So let's inquire how close. So to introduce my approach, I just want to make three haaros on this problem. If I can find where are my notes. Oh. So, first of all, we have Tosis Kasha. Why is it that by Yibum, Chachamim are willing to say, Misa Dechad Chayshinon, Trei Lo Chayshinon? Mashen Kein, by Yom Kippur, we say, if we're going to be Chayshish, Misa Dechad, in the Dabrasur. Question number two. The Gemara itself points out in Dr. Gimel that the Rabbanan's argument seems to be inconsistent. The Lame Ra'im Inhu Lanafshayu. The Rabbanan say we have one backup coin Gadol. And there they don't say in the Dover Sof. But all of a sudden, by Isha Acheres Maskin Lo, they say in the Dover Sof. So Maishna. So the Gemara answered, Kevon Da'avdinan Leit Sora, Kol Shekein Dimizdari's Tfen. The Gemara said, well, by having a Kohen Gadol, there's actually like, yeah, you have to figure out what this answer means, but it's actually very beneficial to have a backup Kohen Gadol because you create like this Kina Sofrim, and there's this backup waiting in the wings, the Tzara, so that'll force him to be Mizdari's Tzvei. Mashen Kain, apparently, by the wives, there's no such benefit, okay. But again, the Gemara is already showing us that when Chachamim said Ein L'Davar Sof, they weren't just making a simple point about halachic statistics and Chayshin and Lamisa, that it's got to be all or nothing. The Chachamim were factoring in the nature of this particular chashash of Isha Chayash Maskin Lo, which is very different than the chashash of Maskin and Kohen Godolach. However, number three, if you look in the Hemshech HaSugya there on Daf Yom Kimmel, the Gemara tries to figure out how in the world could Rabbi Yehuda actually manage to create this backup life. Very not poshut in terms of juggling between ensuring that on one hand he has a wife, even if one of them dies, and also ensuring that he doesn't have Shnei Batim, because it's also for the Kohen Gadol to have Shnei Batim, at least on Yom Kippur. Maybe even the rest of the year. So, the Gemara says, well, you have to make, you do two kiddushins, maybe you make a tanai, but you need nisuin, needs to be a beso. Okay, you have nisuin on both, and then you do fancy gerushins al tanai. So, what ends up happening is that you do nisuin on both, Me'er Yom Kippur, and your megaris both al tanai. The Gemara works out how to make the right tanai to ensure that this works out properly. Rashi points out in that sugyo, can I get it here? Rashi points out that the kashas and terutzin of the Gemara there are a little bit dizzying and don't fully add up logically. Could I not be the Rashi? It's a funny lashon. Yeah. The last source in the whole sheet, Rashi says, "Chosu gezos ein terutzin shabal yicholun lamu keishlan shubos rabbos veino elok imalam no sonu shin tomar kei neishal shiv kei." Rashi seems to be indicating the Gemara is having a little fun. The Gemara is teaching the Talmidim, Machadi the Talmidim, how to ask and answer, going back and forth. Okay, we're going back and forth, lechadid or something, until we get to the right answer. I think he's hinting at something deeper here. I think what he's hinting at is that the Gemara's whole wild ride through Hilchos Kiddushin Negerishin Al Tanai over here is really an extended argument by the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda. It's part of the Ein L'Davar Sof of Chachamim. I want to suggest that the Ein L'Davar Sof of Chachamim is not just a statistical argument, it's expressing a fundamental reductio ad absurdum of Rabbi Yehuda's perspective on the Isha of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Yehuda, Isha's Kohen Gadol is not like this communal position like the Kohen Gadol, this, you know, Minu Tziburi, the high priestess, or the Rebbetzin Shel Kohen Gadol, that needs to be filled, and, you know, for technical reasons that we need to be able to say V'chiber Be'ad Beso, that's not the right way to look at it. If you look at it from that way, from that perspective, Ein L'Davar Sof, okay, you know, it's a reductio ad absurdum, again. If you want to ensure that there's zero possibility of ever having any Kilkel in Avoda, okay, then have a whole, you know, Vivakshu, Kolnar, Basula, you know, Eliad, Shash, Gaz. There's really no limit to how far you can go with technical Cheshashos. The Tiferes Yisrael adds in for a different reason, like, part of the Ein L'Davar Sof is it'll become like a Chucha Beitlula, you know, every year he has this backup marriage. And I think part of that Ein L'Davar Sof is also what they say in the Hemshech HaSugya, that it creates this absurdity that in order to make this actually work, you have to have Nisun on two wives, but two wives is actually bad, so then you have a Gerushin al Tanai on both of your wives, so it turns out you're not really married to anyone at this point, in some ways. And not only that, according to the Rambam, the Kohen Gadol, interestingly, the Rambam points this out, not in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, but only in Isuri Bia and Klei HaMikdash, according to the Rambam, the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be married and dafka to one wife all year. So, by having him do two nisuins and Erev Yom Kippur, we've already created the problem, according to the Rambam. Even though you're going to ensure through various tanoim that he's only going to be married to one of them on Yom Kippur itself. So, what Chachamim are saying is that the whole point of Eishes Kohen Gadol is totally incomparable to the Kohen Gadol. By the Kohen Gadol, it's actually very mistaber and very helpful to have maskin lo kohen acher. You don't want to make a tzara. I think the fact that they use this lashon, which has ishus, you know, resonance, is not perhaps not coincidental. Having a tzara for the Kohen Gadol is great because you want a kinasof for everyone as rizos in this critical communal position of Kohen Gadol. But what are the Chachamim implying? Masha'in came by Eishes Kohen Gadol. It's the totally opposite perspective. That Rabbi Yehuda, you're basically creating a tzara. You're creating a situation which is somewhat of a limbo between shnei batim and zero batim. You're megayish both of your wives al tanai. Again, the hemshech hasugya, going through all these crazy cosmic roots and to show how crazy it becomes. You're actually destroying, if you were to look at it this way, you're basically destroying the whole basis for this din. What are we really trying to accomplish? Again, we're not trying to have some sort of technicality of backup wife. The point is, as the Rambam expressed in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, here I'm relying a lot on my father-in-law's insights into Kohen Gadol Nasui. The Rambam formulates almost like Itumo in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim that the mitzvah of the Avodas Hayom is the Kohen Gadol Nasui. It's not just like a technical requirement that, oh, by the way, the Kohen Gadol has to be married. No, it defines the whole gavra of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to be someone who's Nasui. It defines his ofi, his nature. The Kippur Ba'adu Ba'ad Beso. He's a person who is part of a wider bias. And through that, his understanding of his, you know, sense of familial, communal connection expands outwards to Achav HaKohanim, to all of Klal Yisrael. He's a person with a bias. Again, Kiddushin here is not enough. It needs to be Nisuin. And when you look at the requirement of Kohen Gadol in that way, that he's a person who has a bias of Kedusha and expanded self, expanded responsibility, which then allows him to be that person who can fulfill that heightened, you know, amazing role of Yom Kippur, of Kohen Gadol, B'Yom HaKippurim. And again, this isn't just something that's just limited to this day. In order to be Roy, to be the Kohen Gadol throughout the year, according to the Rambam, he actually has to be Nasui all year, and he has to be Nasui Dafka to one wife all year. So Rabbi Yehuda is unthinkable. This defines his personality. You can't suddenly buy into this wider notion of the Kedusha and the Achrayas of a bias in one day through a Gerish and Al Tanai. In Kainin, the Dover Sof. So therefore, Chacham are saying, in the context of the Eishes Kohen Gadol, actually creating a Tzara would ruin the whole thing. And in that sense, Ein Dover Sof. And it's actually very nice, Yavamos wise, that sugya in Yuma, at the end, Gimel Beis, ends up concluding with potential connections between the notion of bias of Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. It's the notion of bias by Yibum. And the Gemara there says, ah, now that we understand the notion of bias by Kohen Gadol, maybe you should say the same vort by Yibum. That since it says bias by Yibum, you should only be Miyadim, a person who's married to only one wife. It's okay. We have a clear concept that's not true. And maybe you should only be Miyadim Minani Suin, because it says bias. Hey, again, we have a just concept to get at it. But I think it's very beautiful with this yisod that really the subtext of this whole sugya is about trying to understand, l'shitas chachamim at least, what the deeper notions of bias and mishpacha and ishus really mean in a way that cannot be accomplished through technical tricks of gerushin al tanais and is totally anathema to the notion of a backup wife. And the Gemara is basically saying at the end, ah, this is actually beautifully connected to Yibum. Once we understand bias in this way, this helps us better understand the Yisodos of Yibum as well. Okay. Oh.
Very good, excellent. Who's on for next week?
I'm on.
Yeah?
Okay.
What's
the
topic?
Calling it
Mitzvos Yavim.
Mitzvos, Yavin, I'm going to speak of this
Someone was saying that why is the septa called Yavos. Someone told me saying it was called Yavos, that he started this year by asking why is it called Yavamos, as if the septa is about like the sister-in-laws, the septa sister-in-laws, the septa's evils.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah,
y'all started.
Thank you, because of Kevin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We have no.
It's out of behavior.
I'm saying if you wouldn't usually, I don't see
why. Okay, down there?
Down
there?
Yeah,
well,
okay.
We had.
Remember last he said I think he's coming.
Oh, so I think one more after that.
He was in from 3 minutes.
Oh.
Saying to be Mishtatik with the Tzibur, we have to.
Yeah.
Where's that one?
Eight. Wow. 418, I think.
418. Wait, maybe
I like to hit the neutral when it was on the second floor. I can just stare at it. Weird like this.
Yeah, I remember that.
Thank you.